All right, it's 92 Bricks Podcast. This is Kari reporting live from inside of your mother.
Yo, you went right there.
So we are 92 Bricks Podcast. It's Kari Clark, a.k.a. KC. To my right,
Spencer. No AKAs today.
Just keeping
SGs
it, yeah.
SGs on Twitter.
Only handguns.
Instagram. Yeah, I'm actually, I think, the only one with the consistent. No, you're the Kizza.
Yeah.
KZA.
Yeah, at underscore the Kizza, no relation to SZA.
You have two underscores in your name.
What is that?
You have two underscores.
It's the only one I could find across each platform that had the same, you know. Two underscore, you know.
Yeah, well, at least he's consistent. You have like a different social.
I know. Kari's been dead. Kari's been lottie dottie.
Wait, so who are you again, though?
Well, you know, Kari.
Oh, introduce yourself.
Kari's dead actually came from King's Dead because my name means King.
Oh, see, I thought it was De La Soul is dead, but I'm just old.
So no, yeah, right. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. Well, you're an old soul, though. But and you're.
And my name is Kari.
Kari. Yeah,
spelled exactly the same way as.
We don't call him Nyx just for the sake of podcast, if that works. You like that?
No, I hate Nyx.
I hate Nyx. Nyx is fire.
Like, it sounds like Kix.
President Nixon.
And I hated Kix cereal. It's terrible.
Kix cereal is very.
Yeah, Nyx I don't like.
It's not. It's rated exactly what it is. It's not overrated or underrated.
We could do KLN.
KLN.
I'm not. That's way too long. That sounds like a news network.
My neighbors used to call
KLN.
No, that is a news network, right? Yeah. Like that has to be.
No, I don't think so.
KLN. If I Google it right now, watch it. I'm just doing KLN. I bet you it's a news. I bet you the first result's a news network.
Nah, usually need four.
I feel like KLN is an airport or.
Oh, it's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Terrible.
Okay.
That doesn't even sound like anything I have to do with you.
Anyway, so what did you write? 92 Bricks.
All right. Podcast? Yeah, 92. Are we the 92 Bricks podcast or 92 Bricks the podcast?
I mean, it should just be 92 Bricks.
92 Bricks?
I think it 92 Bricks podcast.
All right, cool.
Figure it out.
Well, yeah, we're working on it. We're still giving you what we can. We're going to start off with a segment that we're going to start doing pretty regularly, which is follow-ups, five-minute follow-ups. Basically, I'm sure a lot of you guys listen to a bunch of podcasts. People touch on things and maybe don't give it the attention it deserves in the midst of it. So I'm going to go back on a couple of things from last episode.
Sorry to talk over you there, KC. That's not going to be normal for me. But what he's really saying is some things happened this week, and he wanted to tell us. He told us so.
Oh, yeah. I was being nice.
That's really the way that this happened.
Yeah, that's
fine. No, you know, actually, the first one happened the night a week ago. I was going to say the night we recorded this.
The night after.
The night after.
Saturday.
So we spoke about – did we speak about the J-Rock win on the podcast, or was that in
I think we talked – we might have talked about it. Yeah.
The bottom line was we were talking about why J-Rock had to do a song like Win that obviously tried to seem like an anthem but just wasn't that good.
Right.
And I don't know. My opinion was, like I just said, it wasn't that good. And he doesn't need that. But interestingly enough, I mean, the guy opened up the BET Awards. The guy opened up the BET Awards with that song. And as great as that album is, so many songs on the J-Rock album are, there's no other song he could open up the BET Awards with. So that's a win.
Yeah, that is a win. That is a win.
Oh, did you really do
everybody
that?
Everybody here watched the BET you Awards. Did. I don't mean to go into that. I know we're still following up. I didn't watch it at all.
I watched
no part of it.
I watched the beginning, and then Cole was pretty early on.
Cole performed there?
Yeah, Cole did a really good performance.
No, J-Rock opened.
But it was funny. Like, they let J-Rock open, but it was also while Jamie Foxx, like, did ad-libs.
Right.
Like, it was almost like a house band kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, you know, they've done that with other award shows. But okay. Now, Cole performed. His performance was pretty great. It was weird, though. Wale was, like, an actor in the background.
What?
And then they sat together. I don't know what
was that, like, an HBO thing?
No. You never. It could be these days. He was on.
Was that an HBO promo?
Yeah, he was on an HBO show. He was on Crashing with Pete Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was.
I don't know. You never know. Maybe he's trying to. Yeah, I mean,
was he plugging? Yeah, I mean, because that sounds dumb.
I mean, when I say he was acting, he was literally sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
As like a backdrop item, it was weird. I don't know.
All right, but speaking of Cole, it actually brings us to the next follow up point, which was Cole versus. I was gonna renege my Rich Niggas as my pick, but I actually listened to, and I was gonna actually pick Back to the Topic after I saw, we ended up naming the last episode Back to the Topic.
Too
deep for the intro. Both good songs, but I was gonna renege on that because top. What's the name of the
back
damn show?
Back to the topic.
Not back to the topic. No, the Too Deep for the Intro was actually one of my favorite Cole songs and great track. But I'm sticking with Rich Niggas. His flow on that is crazy.
Rich Niggas though.
Yeah, no, he finds a pocket in there that I don't see him do very often. Where he's like, what he said.
I just remember, God damn it.
That's there's a part about the plane crash, only kids lame ass. I'd be glad it's that nigga. Like, he bodies that flow. Yeah. Like, that flow is, he doesn't ever do that flow. He doesn't do that flow regularly. It's a very off kilter J. Cole flow, and I don't know, I fuck with it. But the other thing is that I think we said the Boz and Kaz song from Return of the Dreamers was Housewives, which isn't true. It was actually Tabs, which is very fire. You should check that out. Give that album some streams. I don't know if people stream this still.
Wait, so speaking, I told you Zos and I was, we were right. He was right. She was right. Wasn't I right then? So Housewives was Cole?
Housewives might have been. Was Cole on Housewives?
I think it was Abso.
Abso was in a remix.
Oh.
Abso, there's a remix.
So maybe the original didn't feature anybody.
Yeah, I think it was just Boz by himself. I think Housewives was solo. But,
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't right. No one's right. Yeah. All wrong. Speaking of all wrong,
speaking
cop
of all
shot
wrong.
The kid. I was definitely. I think I just couldn't read right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another, you know, of our follow-up Fridays. I feel like I'm doing like a math assignment.
Not follow-up Fridays. 5 minute follow-up, man.
Five.
Get it right, bro. Get it right.
Follow-up. Final fuckery. Was cop shot the kid? We had a pretty good convo about that, and I think when you first intro the topic, Clark, Casey, you were talking about how, like, you kind of didn't like what, like, how Kanye had sort of, how would you put it?
I felt like he was kind of trying to do the gotta hear both sides type of argument, right. Which I hate. And it's the second time, you know, because he did the MAGA thing and the Pusha T song, which you mentioned, the MAGA line, and then it's like his next time we hear him. Besides his album as a feature on Nas album, on a song that should be woke or at least some type of conscious, you know, he's gonna do the whole hear both sides thing. And I think you said that there's only like one line, but it seems that there's more, so it sounds like I'm right. I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Well, yeah, because these goddamn genius articles have dumb ads in them. But no, you were right. What it is when they get into the last chorus,
right?
Basically, we have MAGA Ye with some ad libs, and his ad libs are, you know, it's the whole cop shot the kid, cop shot over and over, and then Kanye saying, working 9 to 5, trying to stay alive, making ends meet, shot him this week.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's him literally doing the gotta hear both sides, oh, the cops. And, you know, my point really is just that, you know, the cops are inherently wrong, and it insinuates that, you know, a black guy is a threat, and that's kind of my issue with it. And, yeah, we're not fucking with Kanye on this side right now.
Then the other thing I think that was an important follow-up I noticed from listening back was there was an interesting little one-liner that our guy Nixon had said that was Tuesday, the McConan song, the beginning of the end for Drake. And I remember we both were like, what are you talking about? And then, I don't know, we got off topic somehow. So, interesting week to bring this up, but what did you mean by that? Do you remember?
If I remember correctly, it wasn't the song itself.
The time period.
It was the time period.
Yeah.
The thing I remember most about that time period is that it felt like the one cosign, the first time a Drake cosign didn't work out in his favor.
I thought it worked.
Because that song was huge.
The song itself worked, but remember how the deal went down? It completely, like, collapsed.
And I didn't know there was an actual deal.
There were, like, several false starts. Yeah, he signed the OVO. The song blew up the summer 2014. He signed in September.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So after September, all of McConan's releases were essentially OVO sound.
Right.
And they just kept falling flat on their face. Like, no one was caring.
Yeah.
He was continuing.
Majid Jordan was trying to blow up at the same time.
This was like a super busy time. Like, parties blowing up.
Right.
Roy Woods just got signed. I think Majid is, as you say, like, on its way.
Right.
McConan, because he had the hit, he had a leg up because, you know, even though he wasn't necessarily a household name, but he was the one that had the smash.
Yeah.
He had a household song.
Exactly.
I mean, that song,
it was
that phrase penetrated
pop. It transcended. People still say that shit today.
You know, the nerdiest, the whitest of white is, going up on a Tuesday.
I mean, if you, like, go out, if you go out anywhere in the city on a Tuesday, even today, you're going to hear that song.
I wonder, you know.
I mean, I don't go on a Tuesday, so I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, everyone, if you do, you're going to hear it.
I mean, you probably go out on the most Tuesdays, right? I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, it definitely. So, So what? But how is that the beginning and the end, though?
Yeah. So I mean, so the end of the year happens. Right. McConan has had several chances to get off the ground. He doesn't get off the ground. Even in the top of 2015, he doesn't get off the ground.
Yeah.
And then like, he just gets dropped.
Yeah. He like, did that publicly
happen? It wasn't. It wasn't like
okay. There was a point when he did get dropped though, because I didn't know that. I thought he was just kind of in limbo. You know,
It was weird.
I mean, people thought, that's what I'm saying. People thought he was in limbo. Yeah. Some people figured.
Well, he was saying like weird, like where you could tell he wanted to like say everything, and he was just sort of hinting like, yo, I don't talk to
you. Interviewed Nixon, right?
Yeah, that was the most bizarre.
What time period was that?
That was after. That was 2015.
Okay,
pretty much so after Tuesday. Yeah, no, okay. This is even after he's off the label.
Okay.
That was when he took his first run at it post OVO, yeah. And it didn't work out. And right. That's when he really disappeared.
Gotcha. Yeah,
started tweeting like a bot. But but like that time period, end of 2014, top of 2015, it just felt like Drake had actually just not thought this shit through.
Right.
It was representative of like the next 2 years that followed that, to me, was representative of just that.
Yeah.
Nugget of, you know, that train of thought. Like it felt like 2 years of Drake just not really thinking shit through. If You're Reading This came out, and then after that, it was just like,
it seems like to me overall, and we're about to get into Drake conversation, because as we know, his album just dropped, but
Scorpions.
It kind of feels like,
wait, is that the noise Scorpions? What noise?
I just made that rattlesnake. That was definitely not a scorpion.
Yeah. So would it be like, I feel like Scorpion needs a noise. Like,
did you see the picture of the dude fucking the scorpion, though? You saw the picture of the dude having sex with the scorpion?
No.
What was that from?
I saw that today. That's what I.
How do you have sex with a scorpion?
I don't know. It's probably from some like Japanese horror movie, though.
I can't unsee that. Like,
I'm glad I never did.
Do you know anything about like some of the like films that like Asian horror films?
They're always some weird shit.
Yo, they get, because I've never seen it, but I think a lot of people know about Human Centipede.
Oh, you ever seen that?
Is that originally like an Asian movie?
I don't know. It shouldn't have been nobody's movie, because that shit is fucking disgusting.
that was
fucked up.
I mentioned it because that's sort of what I'm getting at. I remember when I was like younger, I knew this kid who was real into like that kind of stuff, and he would tell me about some of the shit they have, and it's like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, their horror movies, like, they get into
like just people fucking octopuses and all kinds. You're like, yo, how the fuck, how's this, who's watching this? Like, is there theaters for this shit, or is it just straight to DVD? It's like the BET, how they always play Baby Boy, and what's that movie with Q-Tip and Fat Joe, Prison Song?
I don't even know that one.
You never seen Prison Song? No,
I don't even see Prison Song.
Y'all never seen Prison Song?
I've never seen Prison Song.
Bro, it's literally Q-Tip acting in a movie. How have y'all, it's like, it's not like Belly or anything.
I didn't even
like
know
that
existed.
But it's legit almost a musical, because it's like, all right, Q-Tip basically pushes Q-Tip pushes Fat Joe into the train tracks. They get into a fight. He puts him in the train tracks. Fat Joe dies.
What?
And then Q-Tip has to go to jail for like, I think it's a life sentence.
This is not a real movie.
I swear to God. Prison Song, bro. Watch Prison Song.
Q-Tip kills Fat Joe.
Kills Fat Joe in a fight in a train station. He pushes him in the train tracks. Fat Joe gets killed by the train.
So you're saying Crack killed?
Crack. Nah, Tip killed Crack.
really bad movies with rappers, like, where does this like production
it
value?
Sounds like it's,
is it above
right
state
at the
property?
Top. It sounds like
it's production value.
It's not above state property. I actually love state property, but I
was
say,
just saying, like,
it's above. Yeah, you ever heard of Belly 2 with the game?
I've never seen it.
That shit is terrible. Oh shit!
Oh, mic down.
I just died.
I'm glad it happened early.
Yeah. Oh my
god. So it's definitely it's better than Belly 2. It's not as good as State Property. And there's a very funny part.
Neither one of those
end.
Things are complex.
I don't want to ruin it. But there's a part. There's a part where he runs into his homie that's been in jail for a while. And out of nowhere, and it comes completely out of the left field, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this movie for everybody, but there's a part where his homie turns like gay out of nowhere. And he like tries Q-Tip on the basketball court, like, yo, it's been a long time, man. I need some action, man. And it's like, bro, y'all been cool, y'all been fighting for each other, the whole movie just bad, cool. And out of nowhere, his homie just turns gay on him. And it's like the weirdest plot twist ever.
Oh my
And imagine God. Q-Tip just trying to fight off like his homie. It's just mad polite and shit. But I heard Q-Tip got the hands, though. I forget what podcast. That might have been Drink Champs podcast.
Where he's talking about 1080.
He talked about how he, I forget who, somebody said he cried or something like
No, you're talking about on on Juan Epstein when I can't say the quote properly. Yeah. It contains certain words. But like it was Busta Rhymes, and they were talking about the friendship between Leonardo DiCaprio and Q-Tip.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, he's like, Q-Tip cracked the motherfucker's face for Leo.
Yeah.
But not motherfucker. But yeah, and it was just like, no, they were tight. Like, he was like an honorary member of the Pussy Pack.
What's the Pussy Pack?
What's the Pussy? Oh, man. How we're on? Okay, so we're on follow-up, five-minute follow-up.
Oh, it's been like 10 minutes.
No, long story short, the Pussy Pack is like Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire. Basically, his...
Tobey Maguire is in the Pussy Pack?
Yo, Tobey Maguire... Tell me McGuire is in these streets.
What streets is he in? Dressed up like Spider-Man?
I know it sounds ridiculous, but like, wait. So there's a movie that came out this year called Molly's Game that's about this woman that ran with Idris Elba.
Oh, no. I was thinking a movie where the girl gets chained up and she gets stuck because her husband dies while she's... While she's doing bondage, like they're like she's tied to the bed, and then her husband has a heart attack and dies, and she's like stuck and her arms losing like circulation and shit. You never heard of that?
I think what we've learned on this episode it's is someone's that game. Clark watches some mad shit.
Sorry.
No, all I was gonna say is Molly's Game is about this poker game that was run by this girl, and the people in it are based on real people, and one of the characters is supposed to be a real celebrity. And he's like this ruthless motherfucker that did some crazy things, and people seem to think that in real life it's actually Tobey Maguire.
What?
Because he's like a very well-known poker player. But yeah, but anyway, the Pussy Pack was him, E from Entourage, Kevin Dillon.
His name is.
David Blaine was like an extended member.
David Blaine?
Q-Tip was like an extended member.
This makes no sense.
Yo, if you ever get a chance, just Google like Pussy Posse. I think there's a really good... No, it's interesting.
That sounds very not safe for work. Don't if you're listening right now at work, do not Google Pussy Posse. Because you might see some next shit.
Pussy Posse, they're like think pieces about Pussy Posse. Like they, you know, they're good. Nobody in that group makes sense. They'll make a documentary about it eventually.
Leo's the only person who makes sense. You led with the strongest member of the group.
Leo's Q-Tip. It's like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. The Pussy Posse.
What?
The movie is coming.
But anyway, all right, so we're talking about Drake.
So this is the week. I mean, we're, you know, there's got to be heavy Scorpion talk. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. Someone said this, and I was thinking it as well. I was walking to lunch the other day, Friday, when the album came out, and I was looking around, and I just was looking at him. I was like, you know what? Everyone with headphones on is probably listening to this Scorpion album, which is kind of cool. Like, it's cool that we have, like, time periods where there's things that happen. It's weird that there's so few of those, because it's like, you know, Cole album comes out and you figure any of your friends that like rap probably listen to it. With Drake, it's like, no, everyone in the fucking world who's a streaming service probably is listening.
I mean, Spotify numbers definitely make a good case for it. 10 million an hour. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, breaking Apple Music records too. So I guess the big question right off the bat is, how good is this album?
I'll let y'all start because I have a lot of strong feelings.
Yeah, because you said on the last, actually, one of the things I got from a friend of mine feedback was like, Clark really doesn't like Drake. How do you not like Drake? But we'll get into that. So maybe you shouldn't lead this off. Right. I think we have Senor Nixon. How good is this album? How bad is it? What is it?
It's like really not good, but at the same time, it does certain things very well. So it's hard to like completely trash it and tank it. Yeah. But
do you feel like that's a hot take, or do you not?
I don't think so.
I was trying to figure that out before.
I think people have made a lot of...
It's early. I mean, we're recording this Sunday. Just for clarity, we're recording this Sunday. So the album's been out...
2 days now.
2 days. To be clear.
I think people have made a lot of concessions for this album in a number of ways.
Yeah.
And because there's so much volume, it's easy to like kind of make your own version of it in your head that works for you.
Right.
And then you can justify that.
Right.
But as a whole body of work, like as a 25 song opus, it's not that good. You know, so I was listening with my homie.
Right.
And we're going through the tracks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop you. I was like, play it from top to bottom, and I'm going to stop you when I hear a complete heater. Like, when I hear a banger.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear something that really slaps, right. I'm going to stop you.
What was the track?
I stopped her a few times on side A. I stopped her
at... What was the first one? For me, it was the first came on. I was like, okay, we got a big song.
Y'all like Nonstop? Nonstop goes hard.
When Nonstop comes on, I'm like, this is it.
So I'm just saying the first time I heard the album, the first time I was like... Oh shit! Was Emotionless.
Well, I said that about the first two tracks.
Yeah,
I was like Scorpion. Scorpion intro. The Survival track. Yeah. Serious.
Yeah,
I love that. No ID was on that too.
Yeah, No ID killed that shit.
Nonstop to me is undeniable.
Right.
I may just be in this like obsessive Take Keith phase. That's another thing. Disregard my Twitter.
Wait, who? Be clear. Who?
The producer. Take Keith.
Keith. I always hear his name. Okay,
he produced Look
I
know, Alive.
I never put that together either. Yeah,
he produced Look Alive and Rover 2.0, two of my favorite songs of the year. So now he comes on his Nonstop.
And that song sounds, Nonstop kind of sounds like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's like that building kind of beat where it's kind of, you feel momentum as you're listening to it.
It's like a slow kind of, momentous thing, but I like it a lot. I think he goes on a little too long on that song. Like, I checked the timestamp. By the time I was like, okay, I'm ready for what's next, he had like another 45 seconds left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I still think that song is like, that's a serious.
The funny part is that you mentioned it, and I think he had some of the worst lines of his album on there. Because it was like, all right, the chorus is, my rollie not a stopwatch, shit don't never stop. And you know, Drake is like the king of like juxtaposition lyrics. Like, it's like, oh, it's dark out, but I bright up. Like, he always has some type of.
He builds lyrical straw men.
Yeah, it's like
literally what he does. Yeah,
and then
he plays chicken.
What's the Williams and the Bills? My
man said Bills getting so big, I call him Williams for real.
What does that mean, bro?
But they sound good. Like, even the Rollie one. Like, let me tell you something.
No, but the Rollie works.
You gotta wake up early in the morning to come up with a line about a Rollie, a rap line that makes someone interested. Because there's so, I mean, you know, you got Meek Rollie. Well, even before Meek Mill was the Rollie King, there was a million lines about Rollie. So I give him credit because that shit sounds cool. Like, I'll admit, like, that song.
I mean, but that song is just.
And then speaking of morning, he says, "They'll be mourning you like 8 a.m." I was like,
"That was fine."
I'm like, and it's not the worst lyric. And honestly, it's what you expect from Drake. It's like Drake lives in that that kind of phrasing world in terms of rap and shit. But
well, wait, you so on that topic, one of the things that I noticed was my big thing was I was like, are there any bars that I remember? Right? Like, are there any parts that was like, oh, that was, you know, like when I first heard Nothing Was the Same, I remember immediately after the album was over, you know, I really love the verse on Wu-Tang Forever. Because to me, it's like super, it shows what Drake can do really well. Rap really complex words, like reciprocate your energy. Like, that whole verse was great to me. I remembered it. It stood out. With this album, I didn't have a single one. And then I went back, I was listening to it on the way here, and I'm listening to, I think, the last song on the first one, Is There More? And he's really good at rapping, man. He's really concise with his bars, but they're not super memorable. Like, they're so impressive that they're not impressive.
Yeah, and the thing is like, well, one thing that also stood out to me besides the fact that like the lyrics weren't that impressive, is like the paranoia that he has is just hilarious to me. It's like, bro, why are you so like, real subtle guy? There's a white man outside of my crib.
I was literally gonna interrupt you so I could say that. So the fact that you said that,
you think he shouldn't be? I'm playing devil's advocate.
All right, so I'll put it like this. I think that there's room for Drake to be paranoid, right? I don't think he needs to be paranoid about somebody assassinating him, like, physically. I think he needs to be paranoid about people assassinating his character, such as Pusha T. Like, I do get that. You know what I mean? Like, there are people, there are women out there to get him. Obviously, we just found he has a baby mother that no one knew about. But so I think he needs to worry about people using information about Drake against Drake.
And just important detail, like, you remember early in his career, he got set up by a girl and robbed at a place in
Canada. Knew that.
What was that song he made? That? The Redemption? Not Redemption. He made a song about that on
Thank You. Yeah, really, really early in his career, I want to say right after So Far Gone dropped and he had blown up that summer.
Yeah.
He, like, it was quiet, but then the stories came out. He had gotten robbed at a restaurant in Canada, and it was, like, pretty obviously a setup job by the girl who he went on a date with. So, which is funny because I feel like Drake needs these things to happen in his life so he can, like,
have
substantiate
clout.
His, like, the shit he raps about.
Yeah. It's like, bro, all right, look, I understand, and people have this misconception about Toronto because it's in Canada that, like, they're pussy out there. I've been out there. Only vacation I've ever been on where I almost got into two fights. I was there for 3 days, almost got in two fights in Toronto. And it's like, I don't think Toronto is not for play. Like, there is hoods there. There's hood people out there. But it's like Drake.
But Drake's not one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not living nowhere. I'm sure he's not living anywhere near the shit. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It seems like he's really trying to substantiate his street clout. And I always say this, it's in an era where you don't need it. You don't need to have street clout anymore. You know what I mean? We're not in a rap place. Like,
it's still cool. People still find that shit cool.
Yeah.
You know, you guys said that right off the bat, you were like, take him a bit by what was the second song. But you said that you like Survival.
Yeah.
The second one. I was taken because I couldn't fucking handle it. This album starts off,
yeah,
and the biggest, the giant 20 million-pound elephant in the room is Pusha T, right? And on these first two tracks,
he swears it.
But he addresses it enough. Like, I think I was like, say Terrence Thornton's name. I just can't get over that what he did with this album to start with is like sort of mention it but not, and make lines about playing you're gambling with your life for content. I can't take Tough Guy Drake, and I especially can't take it when he's like not really addressing it, and we know what happened. Like, you deaded it.
It's the audio version of you play fighting with your cousin, and he hit you too hard, and you're like, "Yo, let's go back to play fighting." Because it's like you got punched, like you got hit for real. y'all been doing this little play fighting for years. You got hit for real, and now you're like, "Yo, all right, my fault. Let's go back to play fighting." Because now he's still shooting at him, but he's not doing the direct shit because he could have dropped enough. He dropped Duppy. Duppy was a real. That's me throwing my fist with you now.
Yeah. I'm not playing fighting with you anymore. I don't know about that.
That's the first time he addressed it straight on.
I look at this as two separate. Basically, there's pre Adidon and post, because Adidon took it to a level and then he didn't come back from that level.
That's
now you're on your album and but you're on your album talking about like losing. I don't remember the exact quotes, but like lose your lives and all this shit. And like, there's a lot of it. Like, I actually didn't pick up on a few lines. I was reading some articles before I came here where, you know, he's pretty direct with his shots. And to be fair, the more direct ones are at Kanye, right? He makes reference to on the Kanye album. He's like, calm down, you light skin. You know, too rich to fight you. Calm down, you light skin. And then on Scorpion, Drake says, rich when you just got rich again.
Yeah.
I mean, these are pretty direct
and
lines.
And I think we talked about this in Slack. We were saying how he has that line, I was about to, man, I thought about it. It's unselling it to talk about it. And he's basically talking about, it's framed around
on the first track.
Yeah, and it's the first track. And he's literally alluding to having a gun, because later on, I think either before or after, he talks about his homies having a gun. He says, RIP to those who got caught without it, talking about a gun and shit. And it's like, dog, Drake, you're not shooting nobody.
Drake's whole career is, yo, I have a gun under my bed and I might use it one day. And
no, it's my friend has a gun.
Yeah, my friend has a gun and I might ask to borrow it and I'll probably
use it. He's actually rapped about sleeping with a gun. Like, sleeping with a piece.
Yeah, why do you Malcolm X now?
That's what I'm saying.
Why are you still need a pillow for, bro?
One of the funniest tweets I ever saw on Twitter was Travis Scott's whole career is maybe Kanye will show up.
That's how
I feel about Drake and the gun. It's just like the thing that he keeps, like, he just up his sleeve 24/7.
He actually even mentions
in case he needs to.
He mentions shooting. He says, "I'm getting better. I'm a shooter, but I hope I never." He says it in the song.
And his whole underdog shit, like, it's just so. He's like Justin Bieber to me now.
Yeah,
like he's dead ass Bieber. Like, why? Bieber came back when Bieber did the whole VMAs. I'm crying on stage thing. I can't even finish this dance routine. I'm crying so hard thing. Yeah. When he did that, he wasn't coming back from injury or like some type of persecution. He was coming back from drunk driving and doing coke every day. Yeah, with his dad. Like, that's what you're coming back from. Like, that's your tragedy. That's your traumatic life event that everyone should have sympathy for. Yeah. So Drake is like, okay. First of all, this shit was dead.
Right.
Before 2016.
Right.
No one cared about Drake versus Pusha T anymore. It happened and it was over. We got exited.
Honestly, no one ever cared besides nerds like us, rap nerds. Like, no one cared.
Yeah, at the height of it, though.
No one even knew it.
Even at the height of it, it was at least a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
only to the rap fan.
Right.
And I mention that because Drake is super relevant way outside of
it. Exactly.
So I just think it's worth mentioning.
Even still now.
Of course. But so is Pusha now. That's my point. Like,
right.
I don't mean to cut you off, but like, that's the thing. Is like, Drake allowed this to become something that could affect his album because he went there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's self-contrived.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, you didn't actually, like, this is nothing. This didn't happen to you. Like, you reignited this and now it burnt.
And then you ran.
And then you have no idea how to reconcile. Or you do and you're not allowing yourself to reconcile. Right. Or someone is not allowing you to reconcile. Whatever the case might be.
Fake news.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man.
But it's
I mean, I said it in my fault. Go ahead, guys.
No, it just feels like, so when I hear him spend 25 songs or whatever, however many songs, rapping about how, you know, I'm gonna make it to the end, and I guess I'm gonna figure out then, like, who's with me and who's not. Like, yo, no one has sympathy for you.
Yeah,
like,
this,
what you want us to feel sorry for you for? It's like, dude, you did this to yourself.
Yeah,
like, 100%. You're the one. Like, how do you start the album rapping about I have real Philly niggas that's trying to whatever, whatever?
You start your album talking about Diddy. You start your album talking about the.
That's also a Meek Mill punch though too. Think about it. I had real feelings.
No, that's what. Yeah,
yeah. He's like not even you, Meek. I'm talking about I had other niggas after me. Yeah, and they said I had real bad boys. Like it's like him dissing Diddy. Like you're not real.
This is not what we came to see.
Yeah,
this is not what we came to hear. We didn't need those answers. No one was asking those questions.
Wait, so no, I just want to be clear. So you're saying you're saying those are not acknowledgments of Meek Mill.
No, I think you're talking about AR App.
AR App was happy about it.
Yeah,
AR he
no. Wait, so you're saying he's playing off obviously Meek and Diddy rumors, whatever. Yeah. Not rumors. Him and Meek had rap beef. Diddy is pretty strong rumor. He punched him in the face outside of Live or whatever. Yeah. You're saying he's not acknowledging that. He's playing off that, saying like I had real bad boys. I had real.
Yeah, I'm taking it like I have real Philly niggas that was trying to get me. Not you, Meek, gotcha. Who I don't take serious. I had real people trying to get me. Whatever.
Wow, see, I don't know.
I took it to mean that in the wake of his issues with Meek and Philly. Philly stuff. I took like in the wake of that. Like I thought he was trying to say that, like, okay, Meek, you and I had a thing, but you're not even the real Philly dude that I'm like worried about. It's the people that came after
that's
you.
That's what I'm. That's how.
See, I took it. I could totally be wrong, but I took it like so if we're framing this first track where he addresses things, but he doesn't address them as stuff with Pusha, I took it as Pusha. This is content. You're not real. I've had real things, and he mentions Meek and Diddy, which for most rappers you wouldn't go to your rap beefs to show you're real, but again, this is Drake.
Right. Yeah.
Like so that's how I took it. I thought it was him being like, yo, I've actually had real shit. You know, I don't know, it's weird, but I'm gonna bring it back full circle a little bit.
Well, one thing I was gonna say was that in reference to the supposed, I guess, truth that what's his name?
Jay Prince.
That Jay Prince created.
And supposedly Kanye.
Supposedly Kanye. Yeah. I think I mentioned this in a group chat about how it pretty much seems to me that I don't think he had any diss record in the tuck, because everybody was saying, oh, yo, he has a career-ending thing. And then it's like, it's very easy for him that, he has this thing, but he's not going to use it. And Jay Prince, it seemed to me like he was trying to, you know, secure his asset. Like, you know what? Don't say nothing back. Act like you have something. It's very easy to be like, oh, y'all got a gun. It's just, it's like the manifestation of the gun that he supposedly has. It's like, you have the gun, but you're not going to use it. And it's like, do you actually have the gun at all?
I mean, does that even matter, knowing he didn't really... Like, it doesn't matter. He could have Ether times a billion.
Yeah.
If he's not going to release it, that's the lamest shit. Like, I know some Drake stans, and they even admit that shit's lame as fuck. Yeah. Like, it's the lamest thing ever to happen in a rap beef. Yeah. And so this is my thing. Before the album came out, I remember asking a lot of those same Drake stans, like, look, we all like rap beef. It's fun. But you also just like Drake songs.
Right.
They're fun, right? Is this beef and his dealing with it, is it going to affect how you hear the music? And at the end of the day, it's not going to affect how One Dance sounds. Or in this case, what's the song we all kind of agree?
In My Feelings.
It's not going to affect how In My Feelings sounds. But what it is going to affect is when your fucking album starts off, you know, your opus of 25 tracks, with a song called Survival, and you fucking dance around and don't... I can't rock with it.
Yeah.
I can't feel it in my... Like, I can appreciate the beat. The beat's cool. I like the little fucking video game noises.
Yeah.
But that's the reality of this whole thing. It affects the music to me.
Yeah. And so, especially on the first listen, I think if we listen to this album like a month from now or whatever, I think that you kind of lose the... Because you're anticipating him to finally address it when you first listen to it, right?
Right.
Every single song is being scrutinized under the lens of, is he going to say something about Pusha T finally?
That's a good point.
And then it's like... He doesn't. So now that we know he never does,
but he doesn't just not. He kind of does.
He goes back. He goes back to where he was before. What's some songs where he disses Pusha T previously? You know what I mean? It's like he's going back. He's reverting back to those kind of jabs without addressing the issue directly. Right. And it's like, all right, if that's where you, that's how far you want to take it, then. And don't act like you want to take it further than that. That's how far you want to take it. And that's it, pretty much. But let's get off of the I guess Pusha T stuff.
So what's the message?
Can we circle back to that, the last song on Side A, real quick, because you guys brought it up earlier.
The Aaliyah part, the Aaliyah thing.
Not the Aaliyah part.
Name too. Is this more the
lyrics? The lyrics on "Is There More?"
Or Is There More? Okay. Yeah.
Yo, is there more to life than digits and banking accounts? Is there more to life than saying I figured it out? Is there more? He continues. Is there more?
Sounds like some Maya Angelou shit. I think he misses.
Is there more to life than going on trips to Dubai? I mean, what does this do? The 18-year-old Instagram model?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yachts on the 4th of July, G5 soaring in the skies. Is there more to life than all of these corporate ties and all of
this makes me huge shit.
And all of these asses that never come in proportionate size.
That was kind of cool.
That was hard.
That was actually a really nice bar.
Yeah, that was dope.
But am I missing something that's more important to find? Like healing my soul, like family time. Is there more to life than just when I'm feeling alive? Is there more?
So, yeah,
that is literally
it is a really inappropriate time to be asking, is there more to life?
People eat that shit up, man, and it drives me nuts.
Because captions. Caption culture, bro.
Yeah, IG but
caption because culture. Within the scope, because within the scope of Drake's, like within Drake's realm of reality,
right?
That sounds really like that sounds like something to be worried about, right?
Right.
It's like, oh my god, if asses, strip clubs, and G4s are not the talk, there's nothing here,
right?
But too often, like people operate within Drake's reality, like we need like step back and
you would make the case this culture we live in right now of like young people it is, might be built Drake's, off of. Right?
Yeah, I'm about to say it might be built, but it's if you really actually think about what he's saying, bro, you're 30 something, grow up.
That's true. And the other thing is that I think on Emotionless is when he mentions the girls on IG saving pictures, the posts, they act like they're still on vacation later on. He talks about, what's the other one?
People going are to Rome. Eat that up.
Yeah, but the funny part is, why are you going to Rome? Why are you going to Rome and not posting pictures on Instagram? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I know a girl who's only going to Rome.
Nerve. Yeah, how dare she?
Exactly. Going to Rome like to post pictures, like that's all first her friends back home. It's like, yeah, that's what you should be doing. You're going on vacation. That's not why you go on vacation, but that's a huge part of vacation, is taking pictures. I'm not saying that because I travel a lot or anything like that. I'm not trying to defend myself, but
I mean, you're supposed to do that shit.
You know what I mean?
I mean, mind you, I can also understand where he's coming from.
And he does that shit. He does it himself.
But I mean, I know what he's trying to convey.
And that's Drake in his back. That's the Drake that I like. I like when he addresses things like that.
It's just
that
the way it comes across. It just comes across as like, all right, dude, like you're pouring your heart out about the things you're worried about for people from your city.
Yeah.
Like, that's what comprises the list. Like, you're sitting here, you're crying a river
because
there are girls that go to Rome and post pictures. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. The thing about that is like, there's going to be a lot of people who hear those bars and are going to be like, damn, Drake is so insightful and gets it. And shit, I know a girl just like that too. Yeah. And it's going to be the first time. It's going to be the... Say it again.
So similar to Cole. Like, J. Cole does that. He's very good at doing
that. The four times.
But I'm just... In this specific case, I just feel like... there's going to be a lot of people who eat that up, but then there's going to be people like us who are sitting here like, are you fucking kidding with this? Like, I've seen, like, yeah, of course there's people like that. Yeah, and of course that's the culture we live in, and it's kind of sickening in a weird way. But, like, that's the thing with Drake. He appeals to so many people that some of the things that's what I've been trying to figure out. Are these things, these qualms that I have with this album and in general some of his stuff, are these things that are wearing on people, like on the general populace?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually wrote down something I wanted to address is, how come Kendrick drops an album, we expect to hear him talk about like injustices and stuff like that. Cole drops an album, we expect it. How come Drake isn't held to that standard? We don't expect him to address anything.
We don't know.
We have this. that we're going through or anything. It's like how come he's not held to that standard? How come it's not like a because if Cole doesn't address it, I think people kind of look at him under a funny light. Like, how come? Even Pusha T. I mean, that song with Jill Scott.
Can I add to your point?
Yeah.
Do you know what arguably the most political bar Drake has on this album?
That blue tint
is him singing with Future Hendrix. President doing us in. Like,
that's not his president. Let's talk about it.
But like, are you for real? Like, is that's where you're going to go? You're going to put a chorus on president? Like,
yeah,
but no. To your point, I don't know how he gets away with it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Especially in this climate, you know what I mean. Especially after Kanye gets dragged through the mud for being wearing a MAGA hat and stuff. It's like, how come? It seems like everybody's album. And I understand avoiding being political. That's one part. But it's like, for you to be that huge, how come people are very quick to say, "Oh, this person is using that platform to help fix injustices." And the only bar that addresses it is the one you just said.
I mean,
this is a joke.
But what helps him get away with that is obviously the. Or not, but just like
people have. Is it that he's part white? Because Taylor Swift gets away with it.
I just think people just have such a low expectation from him in that regard. It's just like,
but why? You know what I mean?
For you to be the best, because they should apparently, which is fine.
I mean, he came in with Obama, and like there was no content made around.
And I will give him the credit for Nice for What. Nice for
throughout his career, it's just been like, you know,
Nice for What music video does have, you know, has women of color, which is an issue.
I think it's cheap.
But yeah, it's just surface.
That shit is tokenism. It's just Drake, like, you know,
appealing to who he can.
You said it was surface level. So we had a conversation last week about Kanye was surface level. I don't think it's surface level. I think it's fake. think. Mm. Like, I think the thing with Kanye is, like you made the point about Kanye getting dragged in the mud for the MAGA, but he brought that on himself. To be right. fair, if Kanye puts out an album with nothing in these... like, let's say he hadn't done that shit and he hadn't said he would have voted for Trump. Yep. But he puts out an album with nothing. People would have got at him. Like, man, he's supposed to be sort of the voice of our, you know, yeah. our time. Yeah. How you're not going to see anything? Drake yeah. just doesn't get that flag. And... I mean, yeah, I won't weigh in too much here. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's room for us or people just to want hits from Drake. Like, that's what they want from him. They want songs to cry about their girlfriend to almost 3 a.m., be drunk off the Henny, and almost text your girlfriend too. Like, that's the bars that I guess men relate to. And then women want to hear songs. Like, this Final Fantasy, which I thought he had the most almost paused line ever. He says,
bro, that whole song.
What's the first thing he says? He says, I want to talk about dick. Something like that. I was like,
wait, what? He's just giving you.
He says, I don't want to talk about dick that I'm going to give to.
But yeah. I don't want to talk about.
Oh my God. I was like, yo, I don't want to talk about dick at all. What you mean?
But, no, that whole song is like so questionable, and you realize.
Women love it. That's the picture. That's the song that every girl is really? Posting in the Instagram right
Interesting.
Now.
Interesting. What? The song. Like a couple bars from it, or no, you're just saying that's their
like,
song?
Like yeah, right yeah. now, the IG screen, the IG story screenshot is kind of the
sure.
you know, the metal of right. how a song. How
you're seeing that a lot.
Yeah, that song's been a lot and emotionless a lot.
Yo, well, the first line is literally, "I never really talk about dick that I want to get."
Yeah, right. He stops at dick. He says, "I don't want to talk about dick," and I was like, "I didn't hear that right." He didn't say that.
No, but I just want to put this in context.
Yeah,
he goes from that song to a song about his son. Child. About his kid.
It's like
honestly,
wait, real quick. Can sure. Why does he mention that? I mean, obviously,
why does he mention what?
I don't have to say the why is obvious, but like yeah. it is fascinating. The kid. It is fascinating to me how many times because it wasn't just mentions. It wasn't just like he came up in casual verse or whatever. Right.
Well, I can't. I
every time
wonder,
he came up, it was a defense of right. the situation. It
I gotta like, wonder what the plan was pre Pusha. Like, did March 5th, 14th exist in any way, shape, or form pre-Pusha T?
No. Half this album probably no. didn't exist.
Before. No, no. I think
you don't think so?
No, I 100% don't think so. Because
so best guess, I'm just simplifying. He makes any mention of his son? He's got to mention
it. He mentions the son, but it doesn't. It's not like...
But how does he intro it?
He does it. Well, I don't know. He does it in a really Drake way, probably. He probably sings about the kid or some shit.
See, I think you get... See, this is my thing. March 14th, I had anxiety to talk about this today because... To me, it is the fucking weirdest song I've ever heard. I can't even put it really into words that well.
Yeah.
But it's just the weirdest. Like, I'm gonna give you a dumb example. You got a good energy. I'll talk to you soon. Or like some shit. Well, that's how he ends the song. What the fuck is that? What are you telling your son that you've never met? You think he has a good energy? It's just the weirdest
yeah,
fucking song.
Yeah, you don't tell your son he has good energy.
Bro.
What does that mean, bro? He needs a father figure. You're talking about his energy. You need that's to tell him how to like go to school. Yeah, that like you're
God,
that's some shit. You tell
him. Is that what you're giving him?
That's some shit you tell.
The weirdest.
You have good energy.
Song.
How old is this kid again? Do we know?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. All right.
He says he's born in October. Ironically, I appreciate he has a little bit there that he knows. Like one thing that Drake's done really well. It always comes out when he's like on Saturday Night Live. Right. Is he's good at taking, as the Brits would say, taking the piss out of himself.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But so what I was getting at is, I think you get a March 14th without Pusha. It's just different. It's probably done. It's well thought.
Yeah.
This whole album to me.
It feels like he had to.
Yeah. This whole album feels like he got scrambled up. Like, damn, I think rattled. The plan originally.
Right.
There was some talk on this on some other podcasts where they were talking about how this album is just like the hits. You know, and I think they're right because God's Plan, Nice for What, they didn't really, those weren't like seemingly plotting a narrative. They were just like, I'm going to put out some hits.
Right. Yeah.
And this album, does this album have, that's a good segue. Is this album have those hits? Because I thought that's what we were going to get.
I think.
Just hits. And I don't think that's what we got.
I think
Nonstop is a smash.
I was about to say that.
You think Nonstop's a smash over Mob Ties? Because I think the same song, Mob Ties, is better.
I think just the I don't know. I think Look I'm Alive. I think Look Alive kind of sets the table a little bit.
You love that song, bro. Just get off it, bro.
No, I'm only saying that because it's the same producer.
No, I like that he's a theme.
I'm only saying that because it's the same producer and that
Nick
sound.
Be looking dead. He be talking about Look Alive.
That sound is just.
The guy's name is Carrie's dad.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that sound is just kind of defining the summer right now. I think he's going to go crazy with that's Nonstop. Right. Yeah. I think In My Feelings is going to be a smash. Well, Spencer, you made a good point earlier. I don't know if In My Feelings can be a smash because, like you said, it's the 1A, it's a Nights for What. But
But everyone seems to be
that song. And City it's Girls, hard to hate that. And City Girls are blowing up at the perfect time, even though one of them
City Girls the group.
Even though one of them went away.
One of them's gone away?
Yeah, she just went away like this week.
Was she at Mass Appeal?
Yeah, you guys did an interview recently, with her, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Right. Yeah, we have
Where are they from, City Girls? I don't know. I'm not
familiar. Miami, I want to say.
Okay.
Miami.
Super ratchet. Y'all should check them out, actually. They're very good.
They're dope, though.
Yeah. Are they featured on it, or does he sample their shit?
Nah, she's on it.
Yeah, they're featured.
In My Feelings, at the
last. No, what I mean is, like, did he take in typical Drake fashion? Did he, like, Versace?
No, those are new vocals, yeah. They recorded it to sound like a sample. Like,
actually, wait.
Yeah, the only one I like. Like, when she does that shit, like, yeah. I think that's an
original. I take that back. Drake hops on songs like Versace, like Tony Montana.
Yeah.
Kanye's the one who takes a song and, like, is like, hey, I want to make this my own. Like, he did it even, like, not just with rap. Panda, he did it with Panda. I was going to say he did it with Justin Vernon, with Bon Iver, with Up in the Woods. Lost in the World is, like, is a folk song that he took. Now that guy's one of his best collaborators.
Oh, yeah. Bon Iver, of course.
So what are some of the other... I mean, to me, Emotionless... Emotionless I been hearing that as, like, what you were saying, is like the IG screenshot.
Mob Ties is probably going to blow up, too.
But so wait, so does you Nonstop, you think blows up with Mob Ties being?
I feel like
they're the same.
I can see Nonstop being the next single.
Go ahead.
No. I could just see it because it contrasts the first two singles that are out, and I think he needs something a little grimier.
Yeah, you know what I noticed? There wasn't usually Drake is somebody who kind of starts new flows. Like, he raps a certain way, and then that kind of becomes the way other people rap.
But then isn't he like the middleman in that regard?
Kind of, because it's usually you find out months later that it's like he got it from somebody from SoundCloud. Yeah, you're like, all right, because, I mean, that happened with R.I.P. XXXTentacion, but that flow on Look At Me was the same flow as Can't Give Me My Dick In My Pants. Everybody raps like that now.
I gotta interrupt this regularly scheduled program.
Yeah.
The real reason, I just remembered this. Uh-oh. The real reason that I wanted to do follow up 5 minute Friday or whatever the fuck we call it.
5 minute follow up.
Was because when I listened back to the podcast, my favorite part was my man KC saying, you know, I don't know any songs by XXXTentacion.
And then that's like three more.
And then name three songs in 2 minutes.
That was amazing.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
So Drake usually makes... Drake usually makes flows, yeah, and you know, and it becomes the flow that everybody else is using, like the
both ways. He takes and he makes.
But even if he's taking somebody else's, when he does it, it becomes the flow, and it's like, I don't know if he did that on this album. I don't know if there's anything that's kind of maybe Nonstop might be the new flow because like, I don't know
about flow, but in terms of sound, made the point to me that he basically he's you know a steroid version of Playboy Cardi.
I was gonna say I could see the Mob Ties flow becoming a thing that people mimic a lot for the next like 6 months or so, and then like Drake being credited with that, and people just not realizing that, you know, just by design, like that's so hard. Like it's
I love his ad libs on Nonstop, like with the little whispering in the back.
That's just gonna go crazy. He's gonna come up with a dope video for that. He might shoot it in Memphis, like where Tay Keith coming from. Like I could see that being like the worst behavior of this album.
So I think Drake like has always done a few things, right? He does, like, he's really original in some cases, right? You know, I don't think anyone did anything like Marvin's Room. Like, that was unique. Yeah. You know what I mean? No one to that point, like, even in some ways, like, best
that
I
was
ever
the
had.
Moment for Drake in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways.
Marvin's Room?
Yeah.
That was, like, his, like, victory lap, like, in my eyes. Like, he had, you know, there was a summer of Drake following So Far Gone, and then he carried it over. And then Take Care, you know, a lot of people think is his best project.
His magnum opus.
But remember, before Take Care came out, that song was out. And that song was like, it kind of reintroduced people like, oh yeah, this guy that blew up, like here's his follow-up. And it's big even for people who never even heard of him. Like that shit was on Y100 or Z100, I don't know.
Y100?
In Florida. In Florida.
I was about to say, you're not Y100.
X100. It's
no KLA. It's one of them last
KLA.
But so what I was saying is, I feel like on this album, and lately, when Drake did other people's stuff, you couldn't be mad at it because he did it better.
Right.
He's so good at everything. Is that still the case?
No. Because, I mean, to me, Nonstop is low-key proof.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not able to do Block Boy better than Block Boy.
Yeah, no.
And Montage, I don't know. People like Montage a lot. Well, no, he did like Montage a lot.
I think I disagree.
I don't think so. Because he sounds like I said, by the time the song itself, I think, is about 4 minutes and change.
Yeah.
By the time you get to 245, you're like, yo, I'm over this. You're not turning off Look Alive or Rover 2.0.
Well, because I think, but the thing is, it's like.
I am.
Is Drake doing a sophisticated version of that? If that's not possible, because it's like it's
no,
like
I agree with that.
Because like Block Bar is it's honestly just noise in my opinion. It's just rhythmic noise and it sounds good and all that good stuff. But it's actually listen to the bars that Drake's saying. Block Boy, you kind of ignore it.
But here's the thing: if you listen to the bars, that's why you don't want to hear it.
Interesting.
He's rapping in a more sophisticated manner and his delivery is obviously a little more enhanced. Yeah. But when you listen to what he's saying, it's like, yo, I'd really much rather have somebody come on here and just have fun with it. Because Drake is rapping, he's like deliberately rapping and deliberately like stinking.
Yeah.
Like it's not very good.
See, I think this is totally like in the eyes of the beholder. Because like with me, when we had this conversation in our little NBA group chat that we're in,
gang,
yeah, fourth.
No cross pods. I won't talk about no NBA group chat.
No, they're all tight because like they've been talking about everybody doing a podcast and me and Nixon quietly, you know, finally did this one. This thing's been in progress for 3 years, but anyway, I was saying with Mob Ties, like, I prefer that over what Playboi Carti does. But I can clearly hear that it's Drake's version of Playboi Carti.
On the Montage record, I understand a lot more, though.
But like, they were saying, like, is that better? Do you, like, I don't, you know, someone had said, like, they don't like that better. And that's, again, it's like a preference thing. So I think for someone like me who's, like, grew up on more bar-driven rap, but definitely fucks with new hip-hop, that's a more happier medium for me. For someone like you who thinks Look Alive is maybe the biggest, best song of the year, I'm not surprised to hear you say that he's not doing nonstop better than Block Boy.
Right, that makes sense.
But that's Drake, man. He hits.
It's weird too.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, I see Mob Ties to me. Mob Ties has done a lot better. I think like the ratio between like what he was able to do with Nonstop versus what he was able to do with Mob Ties, I think skews heavier towards Mob Ties. When you do the close listen to Nonstop, and I think you like you start to realize like he just starts to kind of like just chug along, like he's not he starts off like on a treadmill, and then he's just kind of like dragging his feet, and then he starts like, I'm a dark nigga, I'm a all around unforgiving dog nigga.
Is that a corny line?
Yeah, I think that whole part is corny, like a dog nigga.
Is that a response to Kanye? Is that because in this article I read, they said that you calm down, you light skin. That's a response to that. I think people are reading too close for that. But that's the world we live in, man.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Where sit down, bitch, be humble is directed at Big Sean, just because he says bitch. Yeah, like. Anyway.
I mean, it happens, but yeah, I think I'd rather hear yes, he's rapping better.
Yeah.
Yes, it's still my preferred method of delivery. Like, I'd still rather hear somebody rap their ass off over a dope beat than just kind of have fun with it.
And it's funny because, like, Drake... But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to hear people in their most comfortable meetings.
I was thinking about, like, because, you know, the prevailing opinion that I have is, like, overall, I don't like Drake. I like his music, but I don't particularly like him because I think he's just, you know, straight up faking. And I say that because...
But you do like his music.
I'd like his... There's music that's... he makes music that's undeniable.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? I can't... That's good. I'd be a hater. You know what I mean? It's like LeBron. Right. I don't like LeBron, but I have to admit he's the best player in the NBA right now. I'd be bullshit.
Real quick, where's LeBron going? 3, 2,
one. Tell.
Jesus.
Yo, LeBron's
so
like,
he's staying in Cleveland.
I just
want to
say that LeBron's like the best person there is. Like, that guy does a lot of good. All right? You're mean.
Yeah, all right. But
it's coming from from someone who he left. I'm a diehard Heat fan.
I'm not even comfortable saying that shit out loud anymore because then, like, I'll wake up and he'll be getting Me Too'd and I'll be like, fuck,
man.
Oh, man,
if LeBron gets Me Too'd by Yes Jules,
I would cry.
We are out of here.
Wow, why her?
Jesus. 2 weeks in a row with Yes Jules.
Worst person.
Yeah. But supposedly, you like that Bron I had a long time ago?
Oh. But, like, that's pushed
at the Delano, Miami Hotel. Pharrellano.
Real monsters. That's Push T, right?
Real monsters.
Oh my god.
No, I'm making like a fake connection there. But yeah, he's supposedly rumored to. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, what was I saying?
with Drake.
So Drake is undeniably good. And I was trying to figure out. So when I first heard Drake, it was 09. I heard Replacement Girl. Didn't like him. I was like, this guy's mad corny. He's Degrassi.
Yeah, that's a weird first song.
I didn't see. I mean, that was his first song, right? Because Trey Songz was on. That was the first video. He was wearing like this BBC hoodie that I really.
That was the first one.
I remember.
I heard that. I heard Comeback Season.
Yeah, so I heard that. And I'm like, all right, I don't like this Degrassi. He's never going to be anybody. He's from Degrassi. He's a child actor. You know what I mean? And then I heard, what was the song? I think it was She Will. Oh, not She Will.
Oh, no, that came
later. We rapped over Kanye. Kanye's beat up. Boom.
Yeah, Say You Will.
Say You Will. And that's when I was like, all right.
My next girl.
Say You Will verse.
That's him in his pocket. That's the Drake that I like. Because not him trying to talk tough. It's him talking about shit that actually directly happens to him. And you can, and as a regular dude, you can actually feel it. Like, yeah, I feel that. I'm not worried about people shooting me.
See, I think he, you know, I think he outgrew being able to do that. And he's trying to catch up to that. But he's the largest figure in the fucking world.
Yeah.
So his woes are, he tries so hard to relate to the everyman, and it comes off as fake as fuck.
Yeah. His woes are also not as valid.
That's what I'm saying.
At this point in his career.
Right.
Like when you're 25, people can relate to you saying, oh shit, I don't really know how to treat people.
Right.
At 32, 33, God.
It's like
Sanders Rose.
People are like, yo, get it the fuck to you. Yeah. I mean, acknowledge that it's not okay, at least.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have
go to home, bro. Say you're going to therapy.
Acknowledge that, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? But like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's just like continuously.
It's funny, on my way here, actually, I was like, hey, what's a song that is definitively one of the Drake songs that I love from back in that time? And I put on, what's the song with him and Fonte and Elzai?
Cut the lights on, and it's the same sample, same sample as MF Doom on my ass, of course.
I
think both of you say that again.
Oh, no, I was saying that it's the same. It's Anita Baker sample, and MF Doom used it on Hoe Cakes, I believe, one of his more famous songs.
There's a great line about Grey's Anatomy.
So that song, I'll come up with the name in a second.
It's called I Don't Think You Love Me Like You Get. What's it called?
Think Good Thoughts.
That's a great song. And I'm like, this is the Drake I like. And he's literally talking about girls doing him wrong, and that was his paranoia. Went from girls doing him wrong or cheating on him or getting caught with his side piece to having a gun under his pillow. And it's like, bro, come on. Like, I believed you back then. And that's why I liked him. Right, I think that once he started making the, I think Stay Scheming might have been the turning point for me where I was like, dude, I'm like, you're not this tough. Yeah. And that's when I first speculated that he had somebody writing his lyrics. I'm like, bro, it doesn't make sense for you to be having these kind of fears and shit and rapping gangsta. It's like nobody believes it. You've been this other guy this whole time. Why do I believe?
I'm telling you, he makes up his own hardship.
I think
it's also who he put himself around. Like you made the point earlier, Toronto's.
It's kind of tough.
All right, let's look at Tupac. Right, Tupac is thought of as thug life. You know, most people without a deep knowledge think of Tupac as a gangster rapper.
Most people don't think about Tupac at all.
Oh, sorry. That was just the most incorrect statement anyone's ever made.
Not my goat.
But no, but like Tupac was a theater student.
He's a dancer,
and you put yourself in a position, you eventually live that life. So I think Drake is, whether he wants to or not.
He was on a syndicated television kid show.
This is not me saying Drake's tough.
Tupac was in theater, but there was no evidence of it. Like, we found that out later.
Yeah, but we would have if Twitter was around now. It's different. All I'm saying with Drake, and I'm not defending him because I agree, Stay Scheming was like, I mean, that was when he was doing the little blicky dance with his finger in the video. I couldn't take him serious.
Blicky dance.
Because remember before Stay Scheming, there was the video for Over with like him and like, quote fingers, the goons with the Nike gloves.
Wait, no, like, that wasn't Over. That was Headlines.
Headlines, my bad. They're similar songs.
That video was so awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, but I think to some degree,
some people believe him. People believe him. People on Twitter like, nah, yo. I think he believes himself a little bit
because he puts himself, you know, look, like you hear him talk about Baka a lot, obviously.
Baka Not Nice is the artist who was signed to OVO.
I don't know if
he had one song, right?
He's totally on OVO. I don't know if he has like a real.
I think
deal.
He had a press.
He signed to the imprint, but he got arrested
for something, right? Isn't he? Baka Not Nice got arrested for human trafficking.
Correct.
I never knew that.
Well, he's out now. But all I'm saying is like this is someone who, in some way, shape, or form, Drake knew when he was younger.
Yeah.
And now he's bigger, and he.
As Emery.
Yeah, basically. Emery Jones. Except the big difference is Emery post jail is like off that.
Yeah.
Baca post jail is Drake's, like, I'm hard card. You know, okay. Like, look who I know. Yeah. Like, he has a line in this. Baca passed a drug test. We got to celebrate.
A human trafficker. Look who I know.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Listen,
allegedly.
Live Up to My Name was one of my favorite songs.
Is it this album?
I've never even heard that song.
You know, Live Up to My Name?
Nah.
Oh.
I never heard that song either.
I couldn't.
Really?
I don't know. At a really early point, I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing
it. It didn't blow up, yeah, but it was like one of those, like, I don't know. I'm shocked to hear you.
I think Mike might have actually played that in the warehouse. Shout out to Mike.
That had one of the most insightful lines. He says that he shoots at the gun range drunk, so when he is drunk in real life,
he can shoot people.
He can shoot properly.
That's actually genius.
Like, that's fucking smart. Yeah, I'm like, man.
That's like taking a picture of yourself while drunk as your ID for your New York State ID. So you get in this shit.
Wait, who is it that had? I saw on Twitter. Somebody had a like a hat on in their photo, and they said it's because they told the guy they were like Orthodox Jews, and like, oh, they let him keep their like New York Yankees like fitted on.
That's hilarious. You got a permanent detective in Times Square outfit, New York Yankees hat. All right, so are we done
with Drake? We're still talking about Drake. Let's wrap up Drake talk. So this is, I think, the simple wrap up, right?
Mm-hmm.
First impression, where does it rank among your Drake? Does everyone want to do a quick like rank of Drake projects and throw it in there? Just off the fly?
I have.
You want to try it out next?
Yeah,
time?
I mean, I'm toggling. I
can't.
So I was Take Care number one for so many years, and mm-hmm. over the last, I think, 6 months, I've let Nothing Was the Same enter the conversation.
Wow.
Same. I'm in the same exact boat.
So I think I'm Take Care, Nothing Was the Same, tie at the top. Maybe If You're Reading This. No, I'll go So Far Gone second if you're reading this third.
See, I always have trouble because, like, we're going to do So Far Gone. Like, we're going to... Yeah, I mean, why not? He doesn't have other tapes. No, it's fine. No, do So Far Gone. You're right. It should. See, I always had... I told myself I was... My bad. Go ahead.
No, I'm actually... I'm still thinking... Well, yeah, I'd go Take Care Nothing Was the Same at the top.
Okay.
So Far Gone number two. Maybe I'll go If You're Reading This three.
More Life?
More Life. I keep forgetting about that one.
But More Life goes hard because of other people. I don't know if it's even fair. That's kind of like his Dynasty album.
More Life could share that three slot with...
But wait, to your point, More Life goes hard because other people. That's fair, but like, so do a lot of Kanye things lately.
Kind of, but the thing is, More Life, and he said it was a playlist, whatever. It felt more like Guru's Jazzmatazz, and it's like you have him as the focal point, but it's not really. It's okay without him. Like, you can listen, if you move Drake from every song, you have just gigs rapping, you have the same song.
He's still on most of the songs.
No, but what I'm saying is, without him, you still have a solid, like, quote-unquote playlist album. You know what I mean?
Fair point, but listen, when we talk about Jay-Z, we include the Dynasty. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. No,
you're right. Yeah. So More Life at four?
Yeah, I think so. I just know Scorpion is down right wherever Views is.
It's better than Views. First thought.
It's definitely better than
Views. I don't even know that.
I know it is.
I don't know.
It is. Views was really not.
I think Views is overhated.
No.
You like that overrated?
No.
Overrated.
I should be named the podcast.
I think I actually like Views more than most people. I mean, remember how much I loved Grammys? I still love that song.
Yeah. Is Views better than Thank Me Later?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, some people really fuck with
Views.
Thank
Me
Later.
Views is the worst project. I don't really love Thank Me Later, but I think it has some merit.
I remember
to me, Scorpion is right there somewhere.
The first song, one of the few songs on Views I like was the last song with the Whitney Houston sample and stuff.
Everyone
liked. If for some reason, I didn't realize how dumb or why I enjoyed this shit. But he says my girl's a spice like David Beckham. That doesn't even mean anything. What's a spice? I've never heard anybody.
David Beckham's married to Shorty.
Was that slang or was he trying to invent?
He made that up. I've never heard anyone call someone a spice.
When he does that though, because I remember when he said slash on For Free, and I was like, that's
what do you slash me?
That's fire slang for sexual.
I thought that was great. What about my also? I liked Let Me Walk Twice. Was that slang or like was he trying to make that up too?
No. WAP. He said WAP.
Oh.
WAP exists.
He's getting head, right? WAP?
No.
You're sure he doesn't say, but like she smash. Been let me walk twice?
You trying to date her and she been let me WAP twice?
Oh, I thought it was walk, and I thought that was like some cool slang. Like,
yeah, nah. WAP, I know. That's like smash.
I have
like
a feeling spice is some kind of slang we just
but
don't know.
I think spice is dope, though.
Yeah, it was hard, but I'm like, this isn't even a slang term. Why do I think it's so far?
Oh, you know what? It's a little different, but you know what line someone asked me about, and I looked it up. I'm disappointed in myself for not figuring it out. I'll do pop quiz for you guys. Y'all pop Molly's. My Molly's pop.
That's a hot song.
What does he mean? What's my Molly's pop?
I don't know. That's what made me think about this. I don't know. Is it a Molly, his gun pops people?
No,
is Molly's
his homies? You're close. It's... You got it?
No, I thought
it's his Molly's, his Somalis, his Somali shooters.
Oh,
like my, that's whack. Because he's right, because he's all whack, he's all like.
Man, shout to you, Molly's is just his way of saying women. So yeah. I thought he was just saying.
That's
he
got what chicks. I mean. Look, that's I'm just going off.
On deck.
I'm just going off what I read on Genius, but it actually makes sense. Because I mean, you know,
you never know what he Genius, but yeah, true.
No, I think it makes sense.
Is Molly's even slang?
Why is he with Somalian people? Who are these people?
Wasn't the video for what was the Apple Music video he did
King now
that no one saw but had like a $20 million budget, the $20 million one that he did for
the short film.
Yeah, the short film, but it was for one dance.
Don't,
technically,
was it Don't Judge Me?
Right, yeah, it sounds right. Wasn't that all in Africa? And wasn't maybe even Somalia?
No, that's one dance.
No, dude, he was with, because it was the same.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they had the.
I don't want to just pretend and like say that's it, but I just when I read that, I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah. I just feel like that's definitely what
Molly,
it is.
I mean, Molly's mob.
Is that even slang for Somalians? Like,
yeah, he's out here. Like, he 100%. If that's for Somalians, then he 100% made that up.
That's like me going to India and coming and back to America like my D's pop
niggas. Yeah, Jamaica, yo, my makings, my mums.
Like, my that's not a thing, bro.
All right, so we done with Drake?
Yeah.
You off the Drake topic? I think overall, my fault. You're in the middle of ranking Drake albums. Spencer, did you
Did you have a
ranking? Honestly, my list is pretty close to Nixon's. Okay. And the only thing I would just say is I think Views is better than this, and I think it's because when I look through this album and I look... Because look, this album's not that great of a rap album. From a rap point of view,
right.
It's not that great of a like. What I love a lot about Drake is he does like narrative Drake.
Right.
Like we talked about this in the Hidden podcast about when we went to the OVO Fest and the one we went to, me and Nixon, was like the Drake Broadway play, which to me was amazing. Like he did this narrative of Drake does great narrative. To me, this is not great rap narrative Drake. So what is it? Is it the B-side? A lot of people like the B-side because it's like or side B, I should say, because it's a lot of like poppy stuff.
Vintage, yeah.
Well, in that sense, my opinion, Views good. Shits on it. I mean, Control is great. One Dance is cool. Like the best songs on feel this album. Ways. It feel no. Oh man. Well, that's feel that never ways. Even blew up, but feel that was.
Ways is hot.
So I just think Views is better right now. Wow. Right now.
I'll give you that because I think the R&B because all the R&B the side B songs, and I'll be honest, I skipped through most of it because I just don't care to hear that. But. I was like, this all sounds the same. None of these kind of stand out except for what was the single that's on that? On
Nice Side for B? What?
Nice for What? It's like, all right, that's the standout. Sure. And that's the only one he really could have picked because out of the rest of the songs, it's like none of these are gonna do it. I do think it was dope, or not dope, but smart that he made a new Happy Birthday song for girls to be doing in the Instagram, the Ratchet Happy Birthday song.
You know, it's funny. I heard that and that was like my, oh, this is, everyone's going to love this.
Yeah.
And so far, that hasn't been the case for the little bit I've seen. I heard a bunch of girls in my work in the background like, oh, I don't like the Happy Birthday song. And like, to me, I thought that's exactly what it was for.
Yeah, he's just maybe going for the Snapchat, girl
maybe
in the
they weren't ratchet
and,
enough. They were a little too.
It wasn't even, the song isn't even ratchet though.
No, but just
he needs to have, that should be like a Nice for What. He should have done the Ratchet Happy Birthday over Nice for What.
I just love the pianos on it. Like, they're like fun. Dumb.
Yeah.
One quick thing that I just want to say, and we can get back to later. But to me, I just think the side A, side B was a mistake. Like, I think I have friends who have always been like, "Man, all I want is a rapping Drake album," and I'm like, "That's a bad idea. Like, you don't know what you like. You think you want that, but you don't." And to me, that's what you got. I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that a lot of side B isn't just singing, and the parts that aren't just singing are maybe the better parts.
Right.
I think that proves. That proves that point. Like, I just don't think you separate.
And honestly, I'm not. And the thing is if it was in a sequence, and I do want to get off Drake soon, but pause.
Yeah.
but I will say in a sequence, going side A to side B, it's like you have the choice. Like, I'll probably never go back to side B ever again. It's like I'll listen to this stuff on side A I do like. But it's like if you have it in a sequence mixed together, it's like I might actually listen to some of the singing Drake stuff just in the sequence of the album. But it's like I'm never going to side B again. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah,
I want him like Final Fantasy. That's not a song made for me to hear. You know what I mean? It's a lot of songs on there that I don't feel like are made for people who enjoy side A specifically to dudes. You know what I mean? But
I hear you. I feel like there's a lot of people who might think the same as you that maybe won't have as hard of a stance on that.
Because
honestly, a lot of side B you're gonna hear without trying because it's gonna be everywhere.
Right.
So I think let's go a little left to center
here. And my feelings are so high. I just have to say that.
No, it is.
That shit. That's the one. Like when I turned, when that shit came on, I was like, see, that's why Drake exists. Drake exists to make songs like that. I want to hear Drake saying chicks' names on wax.
Yeah.
I want to hear him crying about them leaving his crib.
Right.
I want to hear all that chopped into some like weird random sound that he swiped from some YouTube artist.
Right.
And I want to hear all that shit slap.
And I want to hear a week later somebody saying, you know, that they that he stole the entire song from them.
The whole thing. I want to hear the voice like sing songy and all that.
Yeah, so another thing I wanted to kind of get into was this past week, we saw there's a lot of videos on Instagram, pretty much everywhere, about this young man, Junior from the Bronx. And I don't want to stay on this topic too long because it's a very sad one, and rest in peace to him and condolences to his family. But it was just a very, I mean, every single day it seems like there's a new piece of this incident that's kind of coming out. At first, you know, the first video I saw was of this young man being pulled out of a bodega. Some guy with a machete stabs him. Some other guy comes behind and stabs him. And I guess the premise of the story is that it was a mistaken identity case where some kid, I guess, videotaped himself having sex with a girl and posted it online. Looked very similar to Junior, wasn't Junior. Junior goes downstairs from his apartment to go get some pizza, or he's running an errand, going to get some pizza. Some guys think that he's the same guy from the video.
Right.
And they pull him out and pretty much murder him in like just in the middle of the street up in the Bronx. And
well, an important detail, I think, is what made it also is there's a lot of other people in these videos. There's the store owner. There's people walking by. That, like, two of them were, like, nurses, seemingly.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing, was people caught a lot of flack for, like, quote-unquote, allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a tough stance, because, like, you know, these five guys with machetes, like, what are you going to go in and be like, excuse me, sirs? Like, what the, like,
yeah. And you know,
it's tough, though.
The thing is, like, growing up in New York, I lived in Brooklyn my entire life, there were moments, there's very definitive moments in my upbringing, in high school specifically, where not even high school, in elementary school. My mom's a first grade teacher in Brooklyn, has been it for like 30 years. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we'd be driving home, and I actually remember one situation, and we were passing the McDonald's on Vanderbilt and Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, and we saw some kid running, and there was a bunch of guys chasing him, and my mom stopped her car and got him in the car, and we pulled off to save him. And there were moments like that where my mom did that. And there's moments where I wish someone would have done that for me. I've been chased by Lafayette Gardens projects with dudes with guns. And all of our friends kind of had to run and split. And one of my homies got a ride from somebody as well. And that's the reason why he probably didn't die, honestly.
Right.
So it's like, it's like there's these definitive moments in my childhood. And this kind of brings me back to an era of New York that I thought we were past, and apparently, you know, these things are kind of still happening, and it's just really unfortunate to see, especially, you know, the bodega is the cornerstone of the hood, you know what I mean? That's where a lot of things happen. That's, you know, it's kind of a meeting ground for a lot of people. It's usually what really makes a community is the bodega, and to see those guys, you know, apparently Junior tried to hop over the desk or whatever, counter, and the guy kind of pushed him back, which I understand. If some kid you see some kid run into your bodega, hop over, you know, you might not allow him
get
to come
here,
in,
kid.
Yeah. But then it's like they also didn't, once they realized what's happening, I guess the owner helped him, but then the guys were able to still pull him out. And it's like they seem like they just didn't defend this kid, and now they're doing like this Junior law where they're trying to see if people should be held accountable for not helping in situations.
But, I mean, that's a tough spot though, like, yeah, like. Can you really be mad at someone for not intervening when five guys with a machete? And I know that they didn't.
And
they
probably in the split of eye, yeah. They probably didn't know what's happening, what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can give people shit if they don't want to call the police, you know, because like that's like, you know what? And obviously, the conversation of police in urban areas is a whole separate one. But like, if you want to point to anything, I guess you could go there. But I can't give someone shit. Like what your mom did in that situation, that's amazing, and she's. You know, I'm sure that person hopefully is very appreciative of that. But, like, if she didn't do that, I wouldn't give her shit for that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the whole situation is just really tragic. I mean, I don't know if this is true, so I hesitate to, like, make a big thing about it. But part of the thing with the video was, so it's the guy who looks like Junior, another guy, and this girl. And apparently the girl had, I guess when the video got out, had sort of, let's say, misrepresented the nature of what was happening, you know?
Okay.
Like, in the sense of, like, they were, and again, like, I don't want to go too deep because I don't know this to be true, but, like, that basically she implied, like, they had, you know, taken advantage of her. Mm. So, of course, you're in a gang and someone takes advantage of your little sister, you're going to use your gang to get, you know, invoke some proper street justice. So, That was an interesting little ripple, but one that gives me a lot of cause for concern because it plays into that narrative of like, you know, well, if you know, if female accusers wouldn't lie, then there wouldn't be, you know, so there wouldn't be, people would believe when they're true, which is a really problematic stance. But yeah, obviously the incident's really tragic.
Yeah. So I don't want to sit on that too long. It brings down the mood a bit, but I do want to say
no answers.
Yeah.
No, but you made a really great point. It's a part of New York that people forget. You know, that people, and when it happens, it's like, oh shit, like this still happens, bro. Where shit goes down. Like,
I'm telling you, man, the Bronx is still like Gotham City, bro. You know what I mean? There's crime going on. It's all kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, there are parts of being gentrified, and I don't want to get too much into gentrification this episode, but we can talk about that
another time.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's just unfortunate to see. And to be honest with you, and this might, I know we don't have this on the topic board, but that's what kind of bothers me about Tekashi 6ix9ine. And that is that He's bringing back a feeling in New York that I haven't felt in a long time, and it's kind of catered to younger people who are just impressionable in their teens, in high school, and it's like bringing, and
don't know the trappings of it.
Right, exactly, and the fact that, you know,
like, be more specific though. When you say he's bringing an energy, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But what do you mean?
So what I mean is that he's glorifying the ills of the streets, basically, like, you know. Gang culture. Everybody in his music video is blood.
Drives around in a Suburban with a
he's threatening people. He's making blind threats to people. Like, just trying to encourage the negativity that I feel like has left a lot of hoods. You know, just through some of these older people, either, you know, unfortunately dead in jail, or just grew out of this shit, had a kid, and was like, you know what? I don't want to be a part of that shit no more. I know all three versions of that, and it's like Tekashi's trying to glorify it, and it's like, you can make good music, cool. I think that there's just so much room for you to be held responsible for encouraging these kids to be committing atrocities in their own neighborhood and destroying the neighborhood and making it a bad place for people. You know what I mean? And it just worries me to see him glorifying it. You know what I mean? And creating that energy, especially amongst these young kids, the high school kids, they don't know no better. They're doing dumb shit. I see it every day, you know?
That Tati record is hot, though.
Tati record is hot.
I mean, look,
Tekashi makes undeniable music, you know what I mean?
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
I wouldn't say undeniable.
I'll put it like this. Like, the songs that I have heard, because I haven't deep dived into Tekashi much.
But Tati.
No, I don't think it's undeniable. I don't know. I think his videos to me they're manic and crazy, and he makes great crowd sing back music.
He makes heavy metal music.
Yeah, and that shit works in a cool, like, I get why that would probably like go off for 20 seconds at a concert, but his music is not undeniable. Yeah. I think he's smart. It's in a vacuum. He's smart to have antics. I agree with you. I don't like where his antics go, but he's smart to have them because that's what's working for him. It's not the music, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at him, you see somebody who has rainbow hair, a bunch of tattoos on his face, 6ix9ine everywhere, and he's making these videos mocking every rapper under the sun to try to get clout. And it's like, you know, it's very clear what he's trying to do. He's trying to get attention. You're not going to paint your hair rainbow every 2 weeks. Right. You know what I mean? You're not going to do that if you're not trying to get attention.
And it's working.
I mean, I think part of his act, I think, is also is almost his commentary on where rap is right now.
Interesting.
Like, I think, you know, like, even have you seen, like, when I saw the video of him stepping out of that Escalade in LA after escaping Chief Keef, I was in awe. Like, I watched it maybe 50 times back to, because it's just it's not good in the sense of like, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing,
right?
But like, in his world of like trying to create those types of circumstances consistently, that was really good. Like, that was theater. Like, for the camera to be rolling like just before the door opens, and then the door opens, and then he pretends that he's not looking, but he's clearly looking because he's dusting his clothes off. The whole thing, like, the production value is just the production value of the troll, you know, is so high.
I think part of
like, because it's so maximalist, like everything from the tattoos on the face, because he didn't just pick one taboo thing. I was like, I'm gonna do this. He had the face tats and the rainbow hair and the rainbow grill.
Yeah, he's went into the bucket. He's like, what can I put?
And it's like being
a creative player in Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. And you just pick every accessory.
Literally.
But that's pretty accurate.
It's like, you put all the sliders up to 100 and you get Tekashi.
Yeah.
Legit. And it's just like, But the difficulty to rookie.
Yeah.
He's like, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's just his way of also, like, just saying, like, the same way 50 Cent did it, you know. And it's funny
that. I hate
that
comparison so much.
I hate it
too. It kind of is like the 2018 twist on 50 Cent. Yeah, it's, you know. In a way.
50, yeah. 50
was. To me, the difference is 50 made good music. Yeah, that's the difference.
Right, right. 50 wasn't just acting out. He was experimenting. He was testing. He was pushing the limits. He was trying to see, okay, what if I, all right, this is 100. If I go 101, can y'all still touch me? Probably not.
Right.
That's what I think Tekashi's
treating. So the difference is that I think, well, Tekashi, he is attacking people who I'd be like, I wouldn't ever say a thing about these people. You know what I mean? But for the most part, I mean, 50 Cent was attacking real street dudes that we didn't know about until he dissed them on wax. Right. You know what I mean? Like saying their name and like has not been touched and not get it. And that worked for 50. And 50 still does it. He's still trolling. You know what I mean? That's something we also wanted to talk about. But as it relates to Tekashi, it's kind of like there's real world implications for it. We just seen X die. He said that he's not going to do it anymore. I saw another troll video of him this week. Right. And it's like there are real world implications. And I just hope that he never has to face him.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Like, I don't want to see nothing happen to him. I think that he can find a way to make his talent speak for itself without having to incite these younger audiences. And all right. Do we want to get into Greedo? Is this the time to get into?
What is there to get into? He's a legend.
All right, so we've been having like the largest argument.
Nah, I'm only saying that
in history.
Shout out to my boy Wiggs, my son Sean Wiggs, my coworker at Mass Appeal. He's
hold on, set it up first though. All right, O3 Greedo, because I'm gonna assume a lot of people similar to me and Spencer did not know who this guy was until recently. And so just give us kind of rundown who O3 Greedo, well, where's he from? I don't know anything really about where he's from.
Here's the great thing about this. I'm not even a Greedo fan, right? Like, I know because I have a really strong opinion on him, but I'm not actually a fan. Like I was saying, I only this project that he put out.
But who is he? Give us a
O3 Greedo is a rapper turned singer, and that's if that's a genre that we can all agree on exists because of T-Pain,
right?
I wish I had.
I'm glad you said T-Pain because I was going to get into him in terms of,
where he talks about his T-Pain.
Yeah, I was literally going to get into him being gangster T-Pain, but go ahead. So where's he from?
That's actually a really good that he's the gangster T-Pain. He's
I don't like that description.
He's from the West.
That's exactly what he is.
He's from Watts. He's from.
Oh, he's from California, dude.
He's from Watts, California.
He's Crip related, I believe.
Big LA guy. I believe so.
Because I know he does the 2C things on his name of his songs or whatever.
Fun fact. He's 30 years old. He signed to Alamo Records, but acts as a largely independent entity.
Okay.
And he only has two major studio albums out.
He has two albums already that came out?
But they came out in very short succession. The first one came out earlier this year.
Right.
Which was Wolf of Grape Street, which. I mean,
Grape Street Crip, he's definitely.
It was received, but somewhat lukewarmly, because he makes albums that are just too long.
Okay.
And he's been doing that increasingly as of late because of he knew of his impending fate.
So what was going on in terms of impending fate? I understand that he had to turn himself in the day before releasing his new album God Level to face 25 years.
Well, the album came out last week. Okay. And he actually went in last night.
Okay. So what is the charge? Was he facing? Why is he going to? That has to be someone died for 25 years, right?
No, that's why. Wow. That's what the impassioned, I think, pull. Mm-hmm. Has a lot to do with around the industry. It's drugs and gun charges.
Oh, wow. So it's multiple things. Because that California like three strikes type of thing?
Yeah.
It wasn't in California. It was in Texas.
Oh, it was. Oh, that's right. It was in Texas because he had to be moved. He had to be it was methamphetamine possession, firearm possession. Okay. I think he was caught with both of those things on the road as well. So there may have been some trafficking stipulations associated with that. Yeah, a quarter century. And no, I think it's only 20. I think it's 20 solid years. It's
still very long.
Obviously. Yeah, that's crazy. But I mean, the whole thing with Greedo is that I guess in the post TDE LA, if that makes sense.
Post TDE, we post TDE already?
No, I mean, on that level we are. I think there were the Mozzies and the Draco the Rulers and the.
Who? I know Mozzie. Mozzie.
Yeah, big Mozzie fan.
Yeah, we like Mozzie.
Who's the other guy? Draco the Ruler.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somewhat on the same level as Greedo. Just some of those up and coming.
See, this
guys.
Is where Nick's being his day to day job.
He's in his West
dealing
Coast,
with hip hop. He kind of laps us a little bit at times.
Yeah, I don't know who these people are.
I just want you to understand the importance of O3 Greedo.
Okay.
Well, wait. Can we take a slight detour as to where me, Clark, and I think maybe you as well first heard of O3 Greedo was randomly in a job posting that read for Rolling Stone magazine.
Right.
With something, some kind of editor role. And in it, it's like describing. It's like
hip-hop critic. I said critique.
But it's like, it's describing who, you know how like job descriptions love to say like who you are. Like a free thinker, an entrepreneur. Yeah. This one was like, you're the one who heard about O3 Greedo before he was featured in The Fader. Yeah. And me and Clark were like, I never even fucking heard of
it. I don't even remember that.
Yeah,
that
happened. We talked about it in Slack.
That's crazy,
So that's where we first heard about him, and that was, what, like 6-7 months ago?
No, it was a lot more recent.
He came to the office.
It might have been like
least 3 months ago. And at that time, I remember we talked about him, and I didn't know who he was. And since then, I've definitely heard his name pop up places.
He was on Freddie Gibbs' recent
album. He's on the new Gibbs album, which I just listened to that on the way here. They do kind of like their version of like 2018 Boys in the Hood and with Gibbs and Greedo. And I like that song a lot, but I'll admit, like, so we cut off Nixon, but the point he's trying to make is what? That he's going to be... You think he's going to be what? Because he's not yet much. Let's be frank.
Yeah,
outside of bots,
outside
of internet circles, you know, people who frequent Two Dope Boys, you know, like it's their Twitter. Although, is Two Dope Boys going
out of business? They like Toys R Us?
Well, because like the definitive article on O3 Greedo is from Passion of the Weiss, great writer Jeff Weiss. Mm-hmm. And he talks about him. Outside of those kind of circles, he's not yet something, right?
No, I don't think so at all.
But you think he's going to be what?
I don't think his ceiling is that high necessarily. It's just really sturdy. Like I think,
is 30?
Yeah, going into jail for 20 years, you think has a sturdy ceiling?
Why do you think?
I mean, how long has Max B been away for?
That's different, bro.
Explain why, though.
All right, Max B is different because...
I can tell you why Gucci's different.
Well, I'm going to tell you why Max B is different.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare him to Gucci.
You said Gucci when we were talking about Gucci.
No, but I wasn't...
100% said Gucci.
I said Gucci. I said Gucci, but I wasn't saying he could be Gucci. I'm saying Gucci's an example of someone that went away.
Before we say why he's not someone, tell us why he's going to be something.
Remind me to get back to Max B.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, no, I just... Intangibly, it's just really easy to just kind of look at like the momentum he's had over the last couple of years and say, you know what, this cult following that he has is not just of the moment. Like, it's a following that's really taken to him on more than a musical level.
Okay.
Like, I think we saw, like, even with XXX, who's a much higher ceiling, much bigger artist, more popular, quite frankly. But even we saw, like, part of the reason he got hot had nothing to do with his music.
Yeah.
Had everything to do with the fact that his music popped at a time when it intertwined with a problematic, albeit, but a very strong message that people took to heart. I think Greedo has that in the same sense. Like, he might not have necessarily.
What is his hit song though? Like, why?
But
why
he doesn't have. He doesn't have one. He doesn't need one. Like,
the big song that was mentioned in that article. If there will be one, is Never Bend, but that's a newer song.
Well, no, Never Bend came out, I think, last year. The remix is new.
Uzi. I like Uzi on
the
remix.
Like, even for Uzi to just kind of be like, yo, I need to remix this record.
Right.
And put it out. But I think to Nick's point, it's not about one song. It's about the following, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's like notoriety, basically.
What are other temples of the following? You brought up one this week after it was released, back to, you know, Aubrey. He did a lot of, like, this is what I've been listening to, and he screenshotted, which, I'll be totally honest, having Drake screenshot your song or just who you are the morning, that is a big fucking deal.
That's huge.
And that probably trumps
Drake trying to get cred. Drake trying to get street cred, of course.
I mean, I would say 2 years.
Agreed. But
2 years ago,
it's not a
coincidence
that it happens with Greedo.
Right. 2 years ago, it was Kylie Jenner playing your song on her Snapchat as like the annoying, like, I think Bryson Tiller is the best example of that. Right. But anyway, besides the Drake one, which was Friday, are other tempo moments that you can point to?
It's funny. There aren't so many that will stick out. It's been really methodical. Like I said, he only has 2 studio albums out, but I mean, for the last 3 years, and this is me just going back and figuring out context, because I only really got into him when he came by the Mass Appeal office earlier this year.
And to be fair, this is one of those things that's hard to pinpoint. Something's coming, I get it. But if we could, for those of us like me and Clark who really don't know.
Because so that kind of brings me to the Max B thing. Max B was on a song with Jim, a couple songs with Jim Jones, and that's why we knew who Max B was.
But don't forget.
So that's not even the song I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of G's Up. You know what I mean?
My bad.
And that happened before he went in, right?
Think about way before he went in.
But think about the music that's come out recently and who he's been able to collaborate with though. Like, you have the Uzi record.
Greedo, you're saying?
Yeah, Greedo. Like, you have the Uzi record, Ty Dolla $ign. Yeah.
What song does he have with
like TDE, huh?
What song does he have with
Ty? I don't remember the name.
I will look it up. We'll add that to the description.
Yeah. All just all these different looks, like being shouted out by I think Schoolboy Q.
I don't know how all this is happening, and I'm completely unaware of it.
Yo, it's the West Coast. They're just very insulated in the way that they like groom their people. Like, look at SOBRBE. Like,
I was just about to say that.
Song is easily going to land on a lot of year end lists, and you could easily be a hip hop head, not just a fan. You could be a head that has not heard that record.
But that's one of the biggest albums of the year.
That's a good point.
But the thing is, they put a follow up album out right after that, and I don't see anybody talking about it, tweeting about it.
They on the cover of Fader, bro.
Yeah, and then so no,
that's all you need.
No,
in the summer, listen,
I mean that's huge.
And
to
cover the Fader summer music issue, even in the age of print being ancient,
I think they're doing them a favor. Though I don't think it's because I don't see anything they accomplished.
So you just stumbled onto a nice connection between these two. I don't know if you realize. So one of the things that came out after Paramedic was one of their members had said something like, "We're better than Migos," right? I'm gonna make a point. If me, you, and Nixon record a rap song and then say we're better than Migos, no one's gonna care. In their case, people cared. People argued about it. And that brings us to a nice little full circle, because what is O3 Greedo's actual biggest claim to fame so far? It's the comments he made about Tupac. It's he said Tupac was trash. Agreed. So this is another one.
I like O3 Greedo a lot more now.
I'm not gonna sit here and let you wear a bandana wrapped up in that way, which is a and disrespect Tupac, Amaru Shakur. All right, no, but like if we're being real, the biggest thing, and if you have that blank spot, you haven't heard of that. Like, I'm gonna pull a card here and say you just missed it because it was a big thing.
But too many people have done it. Lil Xan did it. You know what I mean? A lot of people have dissed Tupac.
Sure, no, I'm just saying the fact that I'm saying the fact that when he said it. It got attention means he's relevant in a lot of ways.
Okay.
And so is he though?
Because literally Lil Xan said it, and that's the last
one. Yeah, that shit blew the fuck up. And so, Lil Xan did better numbers
because he does Tupac.
Almost so Pusha T.
Lil
Xan's relevant. I hate to say it.
What I'm saying here is that you can blow up as a rapper saying shit about Tupac. It doesn't mean that you're nice. It's just if you say something about Tupac.
No, I'm not. I'm on your side. Yeah. I don't really
you're
love
it's just inflammatory.
Greedo. It's inflammatory to use. If you say something about Tupac, Tupac's trash, right. which is low-hanging fruit.
My only point is if you say something about Tupac and it gets legs, you have some legs. Like, you have some space. That's all I was saying. We haven't even really got into it.
Yeah, we should get Tupac on this podcast.
Here's something. Shout out Dom Kennedy.
Who? Dom Kennedy? Oh, yeah, right.
He's What does that have to do with Tupac?
Oh, wait, is he not a Pac? Oh, he's not a Flex fan. My bad.
Flex?
Dom Kennedy
loves Tupac.
I'm Team Kid Capri.
You remember when he said he slapped Funk Flex?
We need a soundboard.
No, we're not doing that.
Something I never considered also.
Oh,
consider the fact that Greedo has been talking shit about Pac for months.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't talking shit.
No,
was he?
He's from the West Side. I think that adds to it.
No. Look at the tweets that he deleted. He was talking shit.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
And then now consider that he's like beloved.
Is he beloved? I don't.
In spite of that,
I don't know, man. I feel like he's in limbo, and honestly, him going to jail is gonna he's gone, bro. And honestly, the music is not. I mean, you're saying that he has music that's gonna set like you know him being away.
He has 600 songs.
Yeah, it's like, dude, nobody like if one of them is good, I'd be shocked, bro. Because honestly,
what? So you don't like O3?
No, I have no reason not to like him. He's just
you don't like his music.
I don't think he's not doing anything that's. Paradigm shifting, which, and again, a lot of people aren't right now, but I don't see him, one, not making music that's paradigm shifting and going to jail for the amount of time he's going to jail. I don't see him lasting this summer.
Well, remember, honestly. I didn't suggest at all, and I think I said that I literally was not saying that he would be just indefinitely relevant.
Right.
But I definitely wanted to counter your suggestion that disappearance was going to be involved, because that's definitely not happening.
He's disappearing, bro.
No, in 5 years,
he literally
you're
is
still
disappearing
be
to us.
Three Greek. No,
I want to make light of his mistakes.
I just think your mistake. I think you're leaning too heavily into what the music is supposed to bring to the table. Not saying that that's a bad thing, but I think you're in doing that, you're blocking the context, which is actually
I don't think he has the ability. I mean, unless he has a great team outside of jail, I don't see how he gets bigger than where he is now. He like because you can't control those things from inside of his cell.
He may not get bigger necessarily, but he's not going.
If he doesn't get bigger, then he's no one.
No.
Yeah. See, I agree with that, because this is the thing. The whole thing of like how he can maintain while he's in jail doesn't make sense if there's nothing to maintain.
Is it possible to become more relevant without getting bigger? Yes.
But I think you have to have a baseline, which I would argue he doesn't yet have.
And he has the ability, and being in jail is going to prevent him from being able to promo himself, to do anything. Like a lot of why we like certain rappers is them touring, seeing them perform the songs, getting the feeling. There's so much he can't do. He's confined to a cell right now.
He could blow up while confined to a cell if his music was great, and I think I just don't think his music's that great.
Right. Kodak Black was able to galvanize. He was able to use that.
I also just don't think. I just think he has a cult following that's not going to allow that to happen right away.
So I think Kodak is probably, and I don't want to go on this too long, but I think Kodak's probably the best one to juxtapose us against. But I think Kodak was so much further along.
He was way further along when he first. And I say using Kodak as the best example,
and it's not an example.
Exactly, and it's like. Kodak could have. He actually stood a chance of losing.
I think Max B might be a good example.
Shout out to my boy Lawrence. Max B is the most accurate because
Max B was in the same way.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to give you some outside of living in New York context because I wasn't living in New York when Max B was around. I don't think
he's a nobody.
I think you might be overrating what Max B was prior to jail. To a lot of people.
I'm going to give it to you like this. The first time I ever really got into Max B as a solo artist was through my homies in Virginia that were going to VSU, they're going to VCU, and he performed there once. And after that, everything from then on for like that summer and maybe the next year was and Wavy and all stuff. And Jay-Z name dropped, said the Wavy shit. Shout out to Max, I'm so Wavy or whatever.
I forget what the song was.
I'm stunned to the Max, I'm so Wavy. I forget what
it was. Stunned to the Max. Like Wavy, and then he said it again.
Yeah, that was later on, but no.
But it's like, and using Hove as the barometer. O3 Rito's not getting a Hove shout out, bro.
That's absolutely in the realm of possibility.
It might be in the realm. I don't see it happening.
No, it's absolute, dude. The people that Jay-Z has handed out cosigns. That's true. Remember the dude that made OG Bobby Johnson recently? That dude might work at Rite Aid right now.
OG Bobby, who made that song?
Exactly.
Is that Manolo Rose?
OG Rito's bigger than that dude. Definitely wasn't Key. It was the dude it began with a Q or some shit. No, his name was Q. My bad.
His name was Q.
Q-U-E.
Oh yeah, he's more of a producer now OG Bobby Johnson was the producer.
Right. That was his record.
Yeah.
Wait, super quick thing. I wish we would have talked about this. The Drake and Jay-Z song. It's the worst Jay-Z verse I've ever heard.
It sucks in the beginning, but the end. I like the ending. Like towards the end, when he starts doing the Zimmerman thing.
That shit's terrible.
Bro, the highlight of a song is Jay-Z stealing his lazy tweet.
The highlight of the song is when he.
But he's saying like how he doesn't fuck with the president. Like he's
yeah, making, that was he's cool. making he's making I got your president tweaking.
Yeah, sure.
Content's fine.
I thought he said tweeting.
Tweak.
Yeah, he said about your president tweeting.
That's even worse.
And he said he can't get a meeting with me.
I don't want to hear that.
That's Kanye. That's him.
I like that, but it's him.
Me too. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not.
Literally was listening to that the night the album came out, and I'm like, oh my god, Drake is about to let Jay-Z just shit on him on his own song.
He couldn't even do it. And then Jay-Z came on.
It was terrible.
Couldn't even do it.
I mean, I don't even understand.
That's always terrible. That's on
We can get back to that. I think there's a lot there with the Jay-Z Drake relationship that we didn't really touch on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see with Greedo. I'd like to actually hear what other people think of him. I actually asked a couple people this week. Who Greedo was, what they thought of Greedo, and I was actually surprised that a few of the people, because the people I asked, I expected them to know,
and
they didn't. Another kind of random thing of the week that I think me and Carrie Nixon had an interesting topic of debate about a specific part of it was the new Meek song.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get all in depth, what do you think of this song, Stay Woke, which not the most original title.
I hate the title.
Don't like the title.
Everything woke.
What
right
do you
now,
think of just, the song?
I think it's really good. I think it's strong. I think him doubling down because he did a lot of this on the last album, and I think people thought it was maybe a little.
A lot of what?
A lot of the
Stay Woke talk.
Yeah, not necessarily woke talk, but it's just conscious. Just making a real deliberate effort to kind of tell a more conscious tale in his verses. And I think, I think at that time, that was wins and losses, so I guess summer 2016. I think at that time, people weren't really completely on the side of, like, Meek's, this is an injustice that's been done to Meek. Right. I think they were still kind of like in between, like the tug of war between him and Nikki, where it was like, okay, you had your chance and you fucked this up. And then there was a brigade of people that knew the truth that was like, no, 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 you guys don't realize that. And I think now, like, 95% of the people are like, oh, yeah, yeah, he was being fucked with.
Right.
And so now songs like this, I think, ring home a little harder because it's almost like...
I think we're definitely...
It's like I told you so moment. It's
I think we're entering, like, Meek's second leg of his career in a way that... post the Drake diss, I didn't think was capable. I think that he was able to. I mean, and it's gonna sound weird, but I think jail kind of worked in his benefit because of how clearly it was an injustice that he was even in jail.
Yeah.
And then now he's able to rally a lot more support.
Yeah.
And
damn, that was the segue, the jail part.
Oh. But I mean, honestly, yeah. Think about Greedo. I mean, yeah. But I guess my point being that. I mean, this song, if this is what Meek's going to rap like moving forward, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of Rolly talk. I know he's going to have a lot of Audemars talk on the album when it finally comes out. But
for this to be makes song, left and goes Casio, you know?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I'd be bad. But I'd say that it's a good first song to start off with. If this is where he's, if this is the lane he's going down, I'm in full support. I mean, I've been a fan of Meek Mill since like his Flamers mixtape days when he was just rapping loud and nobody really sounded like him.
Why were you a fan of
to be honest with you, it was just being in college and people were playing. I'm like, who is this guy? Because nobody rapped like him. It was very fast, it was very loud, and there was just a lot of energy. And it was like, you know.
Did y'all ever hear the Rose Red?
Rose Red is so hot. I was about to say that shit with Votto.
I love Rose Red. I heard the remix with Ross. I had never heard the one with T.I. and Votto.
That shit I never is heard one with T.I.
Wow.
Yo. That shit is hot, yo.
Yeah.
I was dead about to say that.
Yo, that was... No, Meek... To your point, Nixon, I totally agree. I mean, he had a lot of this content. I mean, Young Black America on Wins Losses was, I thought, a really great song, video. Kind of never went anywhere. Never. Like, it kind of didn't take off. And I think a lot of it, like you said, was because people were in this in-between. Where, like, look, the story of Meek recently, where, also to your point, Clark, he definitely became...
KC.
I don't think I'm going to call you KC.
I like being called Clark.
Can I call you Chief?
I feel like sitting at this table and hear you call me Clark, I feel like I'm under arrest.
You sound like a narc.
Narc Clark.
Narc Clark.
But, like, yeah, no, his stint in jail this time and the scenario that led him to be in jail, it turned him into the people's champ. I mean, the guy was on 60 Minutes and he's been on The View since, and like everyone is rooting for him.
It's the most famous he's been, and he's had a lot of moments where his notoriety kind of increased. I'd say one being in a relationship with Nicki supercharged his people knowing him around the world, and then obviously the Drake diss. For Drake to actually diss this person by name, it's like it made him like humongous.
Well, it's built now, and now he has his moment to validate it.
Right,
like now he's okay, and I think that's so. Now he's taken that and he's using it, you know, from a content point of view, and I hope it works. I hope he still I hope he can be as big as possible. I just want him to put out a great album. I think he's been close. You know, I think Dreams and Night, not Dreams. I'm sorry. What was the one with Rico? With the dollar bill.
Dreams Worth More Than Money.
Dreams Worth More Than Money. You know, he got close there.
I like Dream Chasers 4 more than that one.
Dream Chasers 4?
Was it 4 or 3?
Three? I think it's 3. 3 is the one with Big Sean. I'm going to let this shit burn.
No, DC 3 is the... I think,
Burn is 3.
I think that's... Burn is 3?
Burn's not...
It might be DC 4. So I'm thinking about DC 4.
But look, at the end of the day, the Dream Chasers mixtapes are not albums. And what I mean is, obviously, the meaning of album is shaky nowadays.
Right.
But when I say album is... Meek has attempted to make albums. I mean, he's made albums, right?
Yeah.
And they have a feel to them. Wins and losses, he went for something. I thought it was pretty good. It's one of those albums that, like, and it's rare today that this happens, at least for me, but I thought it was one of those albums that, like, when I went back 2 months later, like, accidentally, like, it came up on my shuffle, and then I listened to the whole album. It was like, damn, this is pretty good. It's like, really, there's some good strong stuff on there.
And the ones he added are good. Like, Save Me. He updated the album.
He did?
Yeah, he added Save Me, Left Hollywood. Those are two
bangers. Damn, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, no.
That's crazy how many artists are doing that now. And people like Uzi did it. Yeah. A lot of friends who are Uzi fans.
Youngboy just did it with 7 new songs. That's like a whole fucking album.
But wait, the difference with Youngboy NBA is... or as Apple Music calls him, Young Boy Never Broke Again.
Well, he had to, yeah.
Because of copyright shit, right? I mean, that's what it stands for. I know Clark can't, Casey can't the like
acronyms, him. Acronym. Yeah. I like the fact he did his acronym after.
Wait, no, you said, you said last week you could fuck with an acronym. You can, no, can't do acronym. I'm confused now.
No, I don't like the prefix acronym, so I don't like
but like IDK is okay because it's not a prefix.
It's by itself. It's not IDK. I mean, his name was JIDK back when he first started.
I think
now it's IDK.
I think his name on Instagram, even though it's just IDK, is actually,
no, it's just IDK.
Right, but when you like when you share his things,
how did he get IDK?
Yo, he's got
how the fuck did that happen? Because IDK adult. Had to be taken.
I get the feeling Adult Swim pulls some strings, man.
Yeah, because there's no way. There's no way he just gets IDK. Sure
they have you were trying to get your name on Twitter,
I'm
right?
I'm still trying.
You were close, weren't you? Like, how did you?
Well, I had K-R-I, I think. Yeah, I had K-H-R-I.
K-H-R-I, yeah.
But isn't there, but like, you told me you might actually be able to get K-H-A-R-I, like your actual name. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be it. No, that's what I want.
I might try to beat you to it.
I want
you know, like the. The best, I think the best come up
Casey at Casey
of that whole like dynamic of like if you have a Twitter handle that someone then wants, is the guy who owned Alphabet.
Oh, when Google turned into Alphabet, yeah, yeah,
because Google's parent company is Alphabet,
right?
I think they paid him a lot. I think he was, but when it happened, he had no idea.
He was tweeting, right? Like, he was saying some random shit,
yeah. Like, everyone just started like hitting
adding
him,
and he was like, yo, what's going on?
I think, you know, what I'm about to do, I think I'm gonna start finding like artists before they really pop and like take the official name before they actually pop, and charge them for that shit. Like, yo, $500 bro, at the least.
Well, there's a whole there's a whole business of that with like website titles. Yeah, I remember when I was younger and I used to be real into like wrestling websites. I remember reading about some dude who came up big because he had like the websites for like all the WrestleManias. Yeah. I think the Hillary campaign, not this time around, but two times ago, had to pay someone a lot of money.
You want
to
see a funny one? You can do it right now. Put in power105.com. Everybody who's listening right now,
Why did you have that on the top?
No. Like, yeah, .com. Don't space it out.
Okay.
Power.
What?
It's hot 97. I was trying to go to power105.com, just trying to find the website for the, you know,
oh my
station.
Goodness.
And then went to Hot 97. I'm like, yo, these motherfuckers are
not just Hot 97, but /news/Ebro in the morning.
Yes.
So, and you know, Ebro is the troll king. That's amazing. How'd you hear about that?
I did it. Like, I was trying to go to power105's website. And
why were you trying to do that?
I think I was trying to watch it.
Why did you ever do that?
I think it was like, this has happened for a long time. So I think it was when I was still writing at The Source and I needed to get something from the Breakfast Club. It might have been before they were on YouTube.
Okay.
And I typed in power105.com and it went to Hot 97. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? And then I realized it was on purpose. Actually, what's the actual website?
It's part of iHeart's domain. It's power105.1.iHeart.com. You said something funny. This is a real, real slight nerdy tangent. But yeah, actually, The Breakfast Club used to get beat for their YouTube videos by like random accounts all the time, because basically random accounts would have the full interviews out, and not only would they often get beat to it, like those would be the first ones, but sometimes they wouldn't even have them and they wouldn't get taken down.
Damn.
But now, I mean, now they're really ahead of the game when it comes to, not ahead of the game, but like their YouTube is, I mean, they get some of the most views.
I got a question for y'all. What color do you think an albino girl's areolas are?
Jesus Christ.
Purple?
Yeah.
You don't think it's white like paper, like the same as the rest of the titty?
I think it's purple. I'm pretty sure it's purple.
I've wondered this for a very long time.
Everything is purple.
I don't know. Well, actually, I got a good question for you. So, what do you think most albino people are race-wise?
I think they're usually black, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what they check on the ballot box and shit, but like, I think that they usually are from like Africa, or like they're usually black people.
I never knew if Brother Ali was black. That was always what confused me.
He better be.
I believe he is.
Yeah.
I think he did he was on a podcast, but no, it varies. But I think for a long time growing up, I thought all albino people were like African American, but.
I think there's white albino.
There's different. It affects all races, but I think it affects black people at like a higher percent.
That's a good place to wrap up. All right, that's been the Main Two Bricks podcast.
That was 93 Bricks.
Just in case I cut that part out, but yeah, it's been the 92 Bricks podcast.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy, right?
We hope you enjoy. Subscribe. We should be everywhere now, right?
Pretty much. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, yeah. SoundCloud. And what's great is if you don't have Apple Podcasts on Android, most of the apps that have podcasts, they have us as
and
well.
And it's always 92 Bricks Pod, yeah. Podcast. Also, shout out to Aisha Ramsey. That's my homegirl who created the beautiful, clean logo, 92 Bricks
cartoon
of our very bearded faces, and came out really dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to Aisha Ramsey. But yeah, that's been it. So let's do our socials, right? So KC, my socials, @__ the Kizza, KZA. Spencer?
Got Spencer, SJEEZS on Twitter and Instagram.
I don't even know which one to get because I have these changes.
You need to change the Instagram one to the Twitter one.
You want me to get rid of...
Well, yeah, because it's probably not going to be that relevant much longer. Yeah,
it'll always be relevant. It's the first of the year. You know that, right?
All right. Go ahead. What's your Twitter?
It's the first of the year. Come on. What are we talking about?
Be specific. What's the first of the year?
Future's verse on King's Dead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so his Instagram name is currently LaDiDaDiDa92.
Two A's in La.
On Instagram. But his Twitter, which is the actual one.
Mike is Carrie's Dead.
Carrie's Dead. So KHARISDEAD.
KHARISDEAD.
It's on our artwork, podcast artwork. But thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, subscribe, rate,
we'll be back.
Mention, tell your moms, tell I say hi. And that's it.